is a WCLT sports presentation.
Here he goes.
It's time for the high school football game of the week.
He's got a man open.
On Kate 98.7.
House call.
Tonight's game is brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating, Lickey Memorial Health Systems, Kasep's Auto Body and Service Center, Lashley Tractor Sales, Mike's Roofing, and Win Waste Innovations.
Touchdown.
This is high school football on Kate 98.7.
From Swank Field, it's the high school football game of the week as the Heath Bulldogs look to move to 2-0, hosting the Barons of Buckeye Valley right here on Kate 98.7. Hi, everybody. Brian Mays, Garrett Wandle, and I tell you what, Garrett, we knew Heath was going to lose a lot of players after last year's successful LCL Cardinal run and making it to the second round of the playoffs, but they showed no ill effects in week one, drubbing Liberty Union 50-7.
Yeah, and that's a big part of one of their key players returning, Connor Corbett, one of the few remaining starters returning from this team last week. He had 13 carries, 171 yards with 4 touchdowns. I expect him to get a lot of touches, especially on the offensive side of the ball, you know, trying to keep some of the pressure off of the first-year starting quarterback, Braden Gibson, who also had a pretty solid game last week, 14 for 16 in his first start with a touchdown. So, you know, I'm sure they're trying not to ask too much, I think, from the junior, you know, trying to ease him into the system here. And you have that benefit with having Corbett in the backfield. But I think as long as Heath... What's important for them is they can't get behind early in this game against Buckeye Valley. They need to just try to get a lead early so that they can primarily just run and pound the football here tonight.
And we saw last year with this Bulldog team a lot of quick strike big plays that happened in week one. And I really think if they can do that again and hit a couple of early home runs, that's probably going to demoralize the Barons.
Yeah, very big, flashy team. Braden Bayless, who was the three-year starter, no longer with the team, actually now going to Otterbein. He's an Otterbein Cardinal. Actually heard he was getting recruited there. Checked the roster this week, so he may get the start, you know, heading into that season, if you're interested in watching him. But, yeah, big, flashy offense. But it would be interesting to see, you know, how this offense operates with losing a lot of key pieces.
Buckeye Valley was tight with their arch rival Delaware in week one, but the Pacers ran away. I had to go with it. ran away with it and were able to win by 28-14. So they're looking to get back on track in week two.
Yeah, and Buckeye Valley, they have their senior quarterback returning from last year, Nathan Huss. He had 2,000 yards, 14 touchdowns last year. So he's familiar with this team, familiar with the offense. Seven starters returning on offense and on defense. So this team is familiar with themselves. And they definitely have experience on the Bulldogs here tonight. And I think if they want to come in here and kind of take the Bulldogs up by surprise, they need to kind of rely on that seniority here tonight.
Up next, we'll have an interview with Heath head coach Tim Ward. That's next as you're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
Turn your trash into a win with Win Waste Innovations. With Win Waste Innovations as your trash and recycling provider, your garbage will be handled locally, reliably, and sustainably at every step. Building on the legacy of Waste Away and Adkins Disposal, our team in Heath delivers custom waste solutions for homes and businesses across Central Ohio, all backed by 7-day-a-week customer service. Visit win-waste.com or call 1-866-WIN-WASTE.
At Lincoln Memorial Health Systems, our mission is to improve the health of the community. Our facilities utilize state-of-the-art technology that surpasses the standard for community hospitals to provide excellent health care for Lincoln County residents. Our health care technology features surgical robotics, advanced patient monitoring systems, cutting-edge imaging, and more to enhance patient outcomes, recovery, and safety.
Back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on Kate 98.7.
Before we look at last week's game against Liberty Union and then ahead against Buckeye Valley, eighth year of being at this program, how do you feel as the head coach now? I mean, you always have expectations when you come in as a first-year head coach, but you've gotten yourself some league championships, successful winning seasons year in and year out. At the eighth year, how are you feeling?
I feel good. I love being here. I mean, as a graduate in 2001 from here. And then really, this is the only place I've ever coached. Came back, started coaching in 05 as an assistant through the 16 season. So I'm excited to see our program grow. Hopefully, I'm taking it in the right direction. I like to think that the things that we do are meant to get the program taking a step forward. And so everything we do is kind of geared towards just taking that next step. We've been blessed to have a lot of guys that can do some special things for us. And I think it helps when your other sports programs are doing well also, especially like when our basketball team, our track team, and things like that do well. I mean, we know our baseball team is doing extremely well with another league or a state championship last year. But anytime those other sports are doing well, it just takes the competitiveness up a little bit. And so as one of us continues to improve, the other one also kind of follows. And so, yeah, trying to build on that success every year.
So we talked in the coaches show at the locker room. You know, I brought up depletion with graduation, but you seem to say, we're going to be okay. We're going to have players. They started out like gangbusters, 37-0 at halftime. You cruised to the 50-7 victory. Anything even really surprise you of how well they played on Friday night?
I guess I'd be a liar if I thought we were going to sit here and talk about a 50-7 win. But no, I knew our guys were capable of winning big, and I knew our guys were capable of doing special things. I mean, we got some tremendous athletes and guys that work really, really hard. I think the leadership these guys are displaying this year is just taking that step forward and allowing some of those guys who maybe weren't quite ready for the big time yet to feel a more sense of being ready just by the leadership that's being displayed from the guys in front of them, telling them with positive encouragement and positive motivation and really helping guys even at practice and things like that. You see a lot of the starters, when they get subbed out for and you have a backup go in, they're not just going over to the sideline and talking and having fun. They're sitting there, they're watching the reps that are being conducted by the guy behind them, and they're trying to coach them up and help.
Corbett and Royster, I mean, I go back each year. This team seems like you have big play opportunities on offense and defense, and both those guys hit home runs on Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I tell people all the time, I've said it ever since we stopped playing last year when we dropped one to Ironton. I said, we have a dynamic duo coming back next year, and we got to find a way to utilize them the best. And they both showed up big on Friday night. Those guys are capable of changing a game at any point. To go with so many other guys that we have that are able to make big plays also. But we play such a physical and fast style of defense that those big play opportunities are going to come. They're going to present themselves the way we play, and you have to be ready to capitalize on them. And then offensively, believe it or not, we're always a big play team, but we don't really talk about big plays very much offensively. We talk about doing the small things consistently as much as possible, and then the big play will just naturally come. And so I think you saw that Friday night. If you look at the film, there wasn't a whole lot of a difference between some of our 4 and 5 yard plays and some of those 40 yard plays, except one guy hangs on his block a little bit longer, or Corbett or Ja'Kai makes one cut a little bit stronger, or breaks one tackle a little bit quicker, and then bang, that pops us through for a big play. And so offensively, it's more about just doing those small things consistently every time.
And for Braden Gibson as his first start, I mean, you're hoping a quarterback is efficient, but I'd say he was more than efficient on Friday night. He really got it done. What, first 9 he nailed and finished 14-16 as your first start? Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, and we knew that was coming. We knew that he was a guy who could read the defense, that he could make good throws. He can make pretty much every throw on the field. We've seen that for the last several years at the JV level and even through middle school, seeing that he can make those plays and make those throws. So we knew what we were getting with him. We knew that he was a calm kid, a very cool mentality kind of guy, and that he can make those plays. And I mean, you saw Friday night, I think he went, like you said, 14 of 16, one of those being a throwaway where he didn't like what he saw defensively, and he had the the mental capacity to just turn and throw the ball away and play the next play. And so, I mean, you take that one out, he's 14 of 15 and for, I mean, almost 250 yards or so. So, yeah, just not only the efficiency, but also I think he completed a pass to five or six different receivers. So being able to spread the ball around a bunch will help long term as well.
So Buckeye Valley comes in. They've kind of been a 500 ball club the last 3 years. New head coach, but he had been their offensive coordinator. Again, week one, week two, is it more about what the Bulldogs do more than what the Barons do? Yeah, you've got scouting on them, but is it you play your style of football, you're going to win Friday night?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we talk about that all the time. We talk about control what you can control. We can't control what the other team's going to do. We can't control how they will react when we put them into this different situations, but we can control how we play and how we react when they put us in a tough situation. And so, yeah, we've scouted them and we know a lot of things about them and everything, but it really every year or every week, it just comes down to getting as better as we can in a 7-day period. How much better could we get from last week to this week and from this week to next week? And so we just talk about controlling what we can control and getting as good as we can get.
Final question, and it's Captain Obvious question. You always want to win your games at home, but because you've got a decent road trip coming up over the next few weeks, a little bit more emphasis on making sure you get out of Swank Field 2-0 before you hit the road?
No, but now that you mention it, it sounds like it would be a good idea. No, I mean, you kind of
win all of them. I get it.
Yeah, I really don't pay attention to home games, away games. I mean, we tried to schedule the first five games, because the last five will be our league games. We tried to schedule those first five games with competitive games that will match us up with what we need to see to try to accomplish all of our goals. And to be honest, I really didn't even care whether they were home games or away games. As long as we have 5-5 so that our gates remain what they should be and our crowd gets to see us play at home five games and we have the senior night and homecoming and all that kind of stuff. As long as it's 5-5, I could care less when we play home and when we play away. And so looking at the schedule, I guess some people were kind of like, dude, you have four away games in a row. And it is what it is. I mean, let's go play and we'll see what happens.
Linden Lighting and Supply strives to be the area's leading provider of lighting and electrical products. When you're building or remodeling, commercial or residential, Linden Lighting and Supply has the fixtures, the fittings, and the materials to get every task completed. And if you need some help, their experts are standing by. They can even arrange home visits to see how your project is coming along. Linden Lighting and Supply, 200 West Monroe Street in Zanesville. LindenLighting.com. Good luck to all the area teams.
Hey, this is Chris from K-Steps Auto Body. Something you don't hear on the radio, I think, a lot is values and ethics. Why you do what you do. And here at K-Steps, it's so easy for us to know exactly why we do what we do. We want to provide a safe and proper repair. We want customers today, and we want customers tomorrow. We want to be able to sleep at night knowing that what we did was the right thing, even if it's not the easy thing. K-Steps Auto Body, in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-steps.com.
K-Steps, quality you can trust.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating and Lincoln Memorial Health Systems on KATE 98.7.
And as the Heath Bulldogs come to Swank Field, let's pause for station identification as you're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on KATE 98.7.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week on WCLT, W254-CT Newark, KATE 98.7.
Brian Mays, Garrett Wandle, as we get ready for week two of the high school football season, as the Heath Bulldogs are now just entering Swank Field, getting ready for this home matchup against Buckeye Valley. The Bulldogs looking to move to 2-0 on the campaign. Buckeye Valley looking for their first victory of the 2024 season. As everybody knows, within the county and central Ohio area, it has been brutally hot this week, and today was no exception. We did have a couple of showers roll through about an hour, 90 minutes before kickoff. It cooled it off for a bit, but it is still extremely humid, very hot. We should be clear the rest of the way, per our meteorologist Garrett. We'll have to wait and see, but it looks real good right now. So, but it still will be very hot and humid for the players and fans tonight, and we'll see if everyone is able to maintain their composure in this very hot weather. As we get ready for the Bulldogs and the Barons, we will have the playing of our national anthem.
And now at this time, to honor America and in respect for all who have served our country to defend the freedoms we enjoy, we ask everyone to stand, gentlemen, to remove their hats, and everyone to place their right hand over their heart. As members of American Legion Post 771 raise the colors, and our national anthem is signed in American Sign Language by Heath High School Senior Leo Hardwick, and is performed by the Heath High School Marching Band under the direction of Mr. Corbin Ross.
Well, we got horns every week, don't we?
Yeah, that's what you love about this area. It's not high school football without either some car horns or blow horns or horns attached to like the scoreboard in some form, you know?
One way or another, you're going to get them. Bulldogs in Delaware Valley as both teams get ready to come out onto the field and get ready for the kickoff. And, you know, in the pregame interview with Coach Ward, he's already a very confident guy, but I think he really has high expectations for this ball club, higher than probably what a lot of prognosticators thought about this Bulldog team.
Right, yeah. Myself included, right? I mean, that just kind of comes with, I think, you know, just the senior class that departed from the previous year. Everyone talked about Heath last year. Last year was their year, right, to kind of make it all work. That's when it seemed like, you know, they were going to have their best chance to make a deep run. But, you know, Coach Ward is confident in this team, and I mean, so far through 1 week, they look like they really haven't missed a beat. So we'll get an hands-on look here at them. Heath will be kicking it away here first, so we'll get a first look at that defense going against that Buckeye Valley offense.
Camden Montgomery will tow it up for the Bulldogs, who will be going right to left as we get started underway from Swank Field, Heath, and Buckeye Valley. Kickoff goes just outside the 5-yard line and will be returned to the 29-yard line, and that's where Buckeye Valley will start. First and 10, Liam Popovich returned it, and Buckeye Valley first on offense. They're actually going to mark it right at the, I believe, 30-yard line. Let's see officially as we got to wait for the ball to come and play. Yep, right at the 30, first and 10 there for the Barons.
Yeah, Barons coming off a 5-6 season last year. They went 3-4 on the road, averaging about 27 points per game, but giving up almost 40 points per game.
So you're saying we might have a shootout?
Well, I mean, if these Heath games showed us anything the past couple of years, they tend to get pretty high scoring, I'd say.
Nathan Huss is the quarterback. He's in the gun, and he will keep it on the read option. And how do you do to start this ball game? He is smacked at the line of scrimmage by Carter Mason. Oh, he came up and stuck him.
Yeah, Mason just laid him out right there. And that may make Huss think twice about challenging him going forward. I'm sure just taking multiple hits like that will maybe get in your head and just kind of the wear and tear, too, as this game goes on. But just a great tackle right there on first down.
No gain. You could hear the pads smacking up here. Second down and 10 for Huss and the Barons. Got two wideouts to the far side. They will hand it off again, and this time a little bit of running room, couple of yards. Now they'll plow forward. We'll see where they officially mark it, but pretty good stop by that Bulldog wall on second down.
Yep, so far, the first two plays, that defensive line has been playing really well for the Bulldogs. So forces a third and long here, so the Barons will be forced to pass it here, most likely, if they look to extend this drive. I'd say just look out for Huss trying to extend the play if the pocket collapses.
Third and six after the four-yard run by Malachi Ross. He will look to throw, and it's a wide receiver screen. Very good block, and getting the first down across the 40-yard line. Very good block in that backfield. Was able to spring that for a first down, and making the catch was Leon Popovich. First down, Barons.
Yeah, just a wide receiver screen that time, and that was just some good blocking there on the outside, and you're able to take advantage of those blocks and pick up the first down.
Up to the Buckeye Valley 44-yard line, first and 10 there for the Barons. Opening possession of this ball game. Bulldogs trying to make a stop on defense. Huss will throw, fires over the middle. It's Popovich wide open, and he goes into Heath territory all the way to the 35-yard line. I'm thinking that was maybe a missed play or missed scheme on that one for the Bulldog D.
Yeah, Popovich wide open in the middle of the field there. Somebody may miss an assignment as the officials may come back. It looks like it's going against
they had everybody the at the 35, and then there were three officials behind the play, and now everyone has to come back. So, no, I don't think anyone really saw the flag.
No, I didn't see it either. I didn't really notice anything wrong until the officials huddled up after that play. Then I kind of saw the illegal motion with his hands signaling against the Barons. So Bulldogs get a break.
Big, big play right there to go from a 20-yard pickup to now first and 15 back at your 39. And an uptight format and getting about 3 yards, maybe closer to four, to the original line of scrimmage. So they're showing some different offensive sets here.
Yeah, like in the mix-up of the different formations, I think trying to keep the Bulldogs on their heels, you know, you might see, you know, these come into play later. You know, you're reinforcing the run with one of these formations over and over and over, and then, pulling it and letting them pass. Maybe if this game's a close game in the fourth quarter.
It's a bunch formation again, and another good pickup to midfield will be Malachi Ross. So Ross got five to get back to second and 10. Give him four more and make it third and six. They're going to mark it at the Barron 49-yard line. So back-to-back bunch formations. Now, third and long, we'll see what they decide to do. But they must have seen something right up the gut for the Bulldogs to draw those two plays.
Right, yeah, when you come out with that bunch formation, you're basically, it's like a 99% chance, I'd say, you're going to be running. You're basically daring Heath to kind of sell out on the run on those plays.
Huss in the gun, will throw. Pretty good protection, lobs over the middle, and incomplete. Good coverage that time for the Bulldogs. It's Connor Corbett. We've talked about him offensively, but makes a nice defensive play there, fourth down.
Yep, saving that third down conversion right there was Corbett. Just got his hands up, knocked the ball loose. Yeah, it was a pretty solid throw by Huss, but just the hand play by Corbett forced that incompletion.
So fourth down, and Buckeye Valley will go to punt formation. A couple of Bulldogs standing at about their 15-yard line. Here's the snap. Kick is away. Wobbly will bounce at the 20 and then be picked up at the 20-yard line. And a couple moves. That looks to be Ja'Kai Royster, I believe. Yep, it is. He gets across the 30. Good return. And the Bulldogs will get it on offense to start this first half for them. 8:32 remains first quarter. We are scoreless, and now we'll see what that Bulldog offense can do.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what we get here. And I thought it was interesting, too, what Coach Ward said in the pregame, you know, about the big plays. We've been so accustomed. Seems like Heath's offense always, you know, flashy, big play offense. But it's important to not really force those big plays, though. Just let them come naturally. I feel like, you know, last time, especially against when they played Norway in here last year, one of their losses, it seemed like at times they're kind of forcing the big plays and not letting things come naturally. So I think that's big here for them. To start out this one.
Braden Gibson, the junior in the gun. And he will swing it to Corbett. He cuts inside 30, 35, and we'll get up to about the 37. Nice cut that time by Connor.
Yep, that's going to be, I think, a familiar sight we're going to see here tonight is Corbett getting the ball and then picking up 5-6 yards. Nice solid run right there on first down for him.
Give him five. We'll make it second and five from the just inside the 38-yard line. Bulldogs in their orange jerseys tonight. Buckeye Valley will be in their white. Gibson with Corbett behind him on this second down and five. Looking to throw. A lot of time. Really good job by the offensive line. He will now scramble. Gets to the 40 and will be knocked out of bounds there. And they are going to call a flag. And it will be a late hit. And it really wasn't a physical, but he didn't let go. He kept him wrapped almost all the way to the track. And I think that's why the official threw the flag.
Yeah, I think that's what's that warranted. You kind of nailed it there. Yeah, it wasn't really a lot of contact. You just kind of hold on to him while he was well out of bounds. So just a mental lapse that time by the Barons. Already their second penalty of the night. And it's another costly one here. It'll be 15 extra yards. Instead of third and about five, it's going to be a first down and into Baron territory for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, really, both both crucial penalties. Mm-hmm. You had a first and 10 at the Bulldog 35. Then you would have had, like you mentioned, a third and short for the Bulldogs, but now they've got a first and 10 at the Barron 47-yard line. And one thing you do not want to give this Bulldog offense is more yardage than what they're already able to pick up. Here's a handoff to Corbett. Big hole, 40, 35, down to about the 32-yard line. Another first down for the Dogs.
Yeah, and Corbett's so good at kind of just diagnosing, you know, those holes when he gets the handoff. You see the opening on the right side? He just shot through it. You know, 0 to 100, it hits that second gear. It only takes about 5 yards, I'd say, to hit that second gear. And another nice pickup for the senior there on first down.
16 yards to the Buckeye Valley 31. It's first and 10. Heath driving on their first possession of this game. Corbett again. No, that's Royster. He'll get inside the 30. So Ja'Kai Royster with a good positive pickup on first down, and the Bulldogs just doing what they want to on this drive.
Yeah, ground and pound for the most part, and it's been working. It seems like the offense line's getting a nice push. They're winning the battle at the line of scrimmage. And then, too, the one time that Gibson did drop back, they gave him plenty of time, to go through his progressions and stuff. So far, the line play for Heath has been really, really good and been outplaying Buckeye Valley.
Pretty nice when you can spell Connor with Royster. He gets the handoff again, Royster. Oh, what a beautiful cut! Spins inside the 20, and a first down for the Dogs inside the 15 to the 13-yard line. They are cutting perfectly, both running backs.
Yeah, and you got a nice little 1-2 combo with Corbett and Royster. And yeah, that time, Royster, looks like there's a chance for him to get dropped and maybe at about the line of scrimmage or a one-yard game. Cuts it inside and then is able to pick up more yardage and get the first down.
At the Barron 13-yard line, first and 10, Heath. Looking to dent the scoreboard first. It's a pitch to Corbett, looking for some running room, and still really made something out of nothing. They had that cornered on the left side, but he's still able to pick up good yardage. And I'm seeing where they mark it. I want to say right about the 10-yard line, so really that play was going to have no gain, and he still got three.
Yeah, kind of broken play, halfback toss out of the backfield, and that time Buckeye Valley knew it was coming. They beat the blocks, but yeah, Corbett just kind of trying to make something out of nothing there. Four chance to get anything there, but I think it's big here now. Inside the red zone, the field gets smaller here. I think Buckeye Valley is going to start to commit more to the run, so I'd say look out for Gibson to, maybe to run play action in a situation like this. Look for an open receiver.
Second and seven. It's Corbett up the middle, and that time the Barons nailed him after a very short pickup just inside the 10. So your first third and long situation here for the Dogs inside the 10.
Yeah, it seems like, Barons are kind of selling out on the run here in the red zone. So, yeah, it's gonna force a passing situation here for the Bulldogs. I mean, possibly depending on what you want to do, if this is four down territory for them or not, depending on what happens here on third down. But You know, I wouldn't hate maybe a play action or maybe a halfback screen, get the ball in Corbett or Royster's hands in some form or fashion here.
Third and six from the Barron 9. Corbett in the backfield with Gibson. Fake handoff. Gibson will roll out. He's got some running room if he wants it. Now he's looking to throw. Fires in the end zone. Deflected by a couple of Barron players, and it falls incomplete. I think if he just went for it, I think he would have had at least the first down.
Yeah, I think he probably, yeah, he would have got the first down, I think. He did have some yardage up there in front of him. But yeah, Gibson, it doesn't seem like he's quite the runner as that Bayless was, or maybe isn't as confident in his ability yet, but I think that's just something that he'll learn with experience. Probably should have just tucked it and ran it right there and just picked up the first down.
So Montgomery will come on to attempt a field goal. This will be from 26 yards. Royster will be the holder on fourth down and six. And we might have had movement, and we did. Kick is up and good, but the offsides will make it fourth and one. And, of course, Coach Ward has gone for it when he's been on his side of the 10-yard line, fourth and short. So I got to think he's going to go for it here.
Yeah, I think he is. It looks like, he's sending Gibson back out there. So, yeah, fourth and one. I mean, hey, might as well, making it easier for him. And then, two, the way you have been running the football, just try to force it up the gut here. And
how big are three penalties?
Yeah, these.
I mean,
we saw the effect of penalties last week, with Licking Heights and Newark, both those teams having a lot of penalties and big situations here. But yeah, early in this one, already three for Buckeye Valley. And depending on what happens here on this fourth down, I mean, yeah, it's kind of swinging the game right now so far. I mean, especially if you're able to convert this, score a touchdown. If you're Heath, that is the penalties. Yeah, I mean, it's really based off the penalty so far.
Fourth and a long one. It's at the five. They need to get inside the four-yard line. And Gibson will go under center. And we'll have a full house backfield on fourth and one. Gibson with a long count. Here's the handoff to Corbett. I don't think so, Garrett.
Nope.
I think the Buckeye Valley defense held. Wow.
Yeah, and it seemed like, once they got inside the red zone, they kind of changed their attitude on defense. They're kind of getting ran over, and then all of a sudden they're kind of holding tall, and they've been winning the battle of the line of scrimmage. And now that penalty maybe saved them 3 points,
It did. It really did.
So,
Buckeye Valley will take over at their five. So after the Bulldogs just ran up and down the field, the Barons defense is able to hold at their five-yard line, and that's where they will take on first and 10. Nathan Huss in the gun, and he will hand it off, and a couple of good moves. Boy, we've seen some good running back plays already in this ballgame. And checking to see who that was. Sincere Godsey was the running back there, and he picks up a very tough 6 yards.
Yeah, it seems like Valley wants to have a similar game plan as the Bulldogs here, at least early going, primarily running the football, trying to keep the pressure off your quarterbacks.
Second and four. Huss, fake handoff, looking, fires, and out to the wide receiver, getting a first down across the 20, gets drilled at the 22. But still gets a first down. That's Owen Hall.
Yeah, just another wide receiver screen. We saw that on their opening drive on their third down conversion. It works again there for another nice solid gain. And yeah, they're just kind of dinking and dumping, running it, little chunk plays.
Quick huddle, and they're right back at it. And here's Godsey again. And Godsey will get across the 25 to about the 27. So 5 more yards on the ground that time for the Barons. We are scoreless, 4 minutes, 12 seconds in this first quarter. Heath and Buckeye Valley. And not sure if the Bulldogs were set because, again, they went quick. But Huss gets drilled again behind the line back to the 25-yard line. The Bulldogs weren't set, but their players making plays.
Yeah, and I think, too, Heath may have gone away with the extra guy in the field. But officials didn't see it, and it benefited them. So, yeah, it'll be third and long here for the Barons. So, passing situation here. We've seen the wide receiver screen. That's really about it. We saw a big pass completed across the middle, but that was called back for illegal formation.
Third and six. Huss. Back to throw. He's got some pressure. Rolling out. Fires. And wide open is Hall. And he makes the catch. And it's a first down to the 40-yard line. That's Zane Furr, actually, who makes the catch. And it's a third down conversion for the Barons.
Yeah, it seems like Buckeye Valley's been settling in this game. You know, then in the second half of the first quarter came out. Seemed like Heath was dominating on both sides of the ball, but a nice third down conversion there. Moving the ball pretty nicely here on their second drive.
And here's the handoff, and a big hole across midfield into Heath territory is Godsey once again. And he will get 12 yards. First down, Buckeye Valley. And they went from the bunch format. Now they're doing a no huddle and moving quickly. They're really changing things up here, catching the Bulldogs defense a little bit off guard. First and 10 for the Barons at the Heath 48-yard line. Huss waiting for the snap. He gets it. Looking to throw. Fires. And, oh, nice play. It's incomplete. Good job defensively by Josh Jones.
Yeah, that was Huss fortunate that that one wasn't really intercepted. A little bit less on that one. That would have landed right into Jones' hands, but that stops the momentum for the time being here for the Barons.
Second and 10 now from the Heath 48. Huss gets the snap, and it's Godsey again. Boy, the Bulldogs are hitting tonight, Garrett. He gets a yard pickup, but he's going to feel that.
Yeah, they're making the Barons earn each and every one of these yards. And they force another third and long situation. And we'll see if they can get off the field here.
So third and 9. 47-yard line of Heath is where we're at. Quick moving first quarter. We're down to 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yeah, both these teams have been liking to run the football. And I think that's just going to make each possession much more of a factor. Is Huss kind of going in reverse here to get the play call.
I think they're going to call a timeout.
Yeah,
they do. We'll take one as well with a minute 58 left in the first quarter. Scoreless, Heath and the Barons back with more. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on K98.7.
Do you come home to find your trash thrown all over the ground, driveway, or yard? Or are you just tired of paying too much just to get rid of your trash? Shackelford's Disposal today, offering a weekly residential trash service at honest and fair pricing. Shackelford's also offers commercial and dumpster services for your weekend and construction projects. So call Shackelford's Disposal at 740-366-0001, where you get the real deal.
Coaches often explain a loss by saying their players failed to protect the quarterback.
46!
Protecting your assets is important in life as it is in football. I'm Brett Boyer from Boyer Insurance, and our team is here to provide the coverage for your life's fumbles. So if your zone gets flooded or an employee injures their backfield, you can recover. Stay on the ball with the help of our team at Boyer Insurance in Zanesville and Coshocton and online at BoyerINS.com.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Kasep's Auto Body and Service Center and Lashley Tractor Sales, here on K98.7.
Third and 9 as we resume play here in the first quarter. The Barons at the Bulldog 47-yard line. Huss to throw, and it's a receiver. It's a double pass, and wide open, but the pass is incomplete. Great play call. Simon Schell was wide open. It would have been an easy six, but the pass falls incomplete. Fourth down.
Yeah, genius play call right there. Timeout was well worth drawing that up, but you know, when you give a positional player an opportunity to throw the football, it's either on the money or falls incomplete like that, and you just kind of, there's nothing you can do. I mean, you had the receiver wide open, like you said, it would have been easy six if he was able to even get in the vicinity of him, but Bulldogs catch a break that time, and the Barons will be forced to punt it away.
And they will set it up. Here's the punt. Not much air onto it, but it takes a great Buckeye Valley roll. And we'll go inside the 5, I think down to the 3.
Yeah.
It's an ugly punt, but the results are exactly what the Barons needed. But we do have a flag on the play, and I think it's against Buckeye Valley. And if it is, you know Heath is going to let them re-kick it, and it's a hold, which you don't see on the kicking team very often.
Yeah, that's a rarity. Usually have that on receiving. And I think, are they going to make them re-kick it?
Now everyone's back to the line of scrimmage, so I'm going to say yes.
Oh, yeah, Bulldogs get another break that time. And, yeah, instead of having to take it out, start at your own three, I'm sure they're going to try to field this one north of the 10-yard line.
Love to give you the name of the punter, but we had a lot of roster issues with Buckeye Valley to start, and he's not listed, so he's not Pat McAfee, I can tell you that. So they will mark it back to the Barron 42-yard line, and that's where they will punt it. So this could be a huge break for Heath. They were down at the three. Let's see what this punt does. Off his foot, and it still takes a Buckeye Valley roll. Wow, all the way inside the 10.
Well, they gained about 5 yards.
They gained 5 yards. Wow. So he doesn't get air under it, but he's gotten the right roll, and I guess the Bulldog punters are just, the receivers are going to have to move up because the rolls have been perfect for Buckeye Valley.
Yeah, it's kind of the low line drive kicks, like it hit at about the 24, 25-yard line, and it bounces for an additional 10, 15 yards, so yeah, I think for Heath going forward, you either need to adjust, it's hard to field those on the bounce because you don't want to risk. You'd much rather, take over here inside the 10 than let Buckeye Valley take over inside the 10.
At the 8-yard line, first and 10, Heath. Minute 24 in this first quarter. We are scoreless. Connor gets hit in the backfield, and he'll be inside the 5. So the last two rushing attempts by Heath, Buckeye Valley's been all over it.
Yeah, and I think, that they're kind of feeling out that Heath offense on the opening drive, not sure what to expect. Like both of us, what we were going to expect from this Heath offense. The Barons have identified, I think, that they're going to heavily rely on the running game, and they may be selling out a little bit, kind of daring Gibson to throw it here. So you got to be careful, though, at your own 6-yard line now, under a minute to play in the first.
Second down and 13. Gibson will roll and look to throw. He's got time, fires, and intercepted at the 10. It's going to be a pick six for Buckeye Valley, just like that. Looked like there was a misread by either Gibson or his wide receiver, and it was thrown right to Buckeye Valley. Checking to see who that was on the pick.
It was 33.
Tristan Pemberton?
Yep.
So Pemberton, the linebacker, was right there. And I want to say that was about a 12-yard interception return. And Buckeye Valley on the board with 35 seconds left. Defensively, they lead at 6-0. Extra point on the way here. Waiting for the snap. Here it comes. And the left-footed kicker gets it up and good. That would be Graydon Genter. So, 7-0 Buckeye Valley. Quick turn of events.
Yeah, and I think, too, like I said, this Buckeye Valley team, they came out, I feel like kind of shaky. They weren't really sure what they were doing on defense. And it seemed like Heath was going to, kind of run away with this game, at least on that opening drive, running the ball at will. And then after that big fourth down stop, the Barons are able to move the ball downfield somewhat efficiently. I mean, in a way, I think, being down only 7-0 for Heath, they can be kind of fortunate because the Barons have 4 penalties already in this first quarter, and a lot of them coming at big and critical situations that could have given them at least easily another, 3 to 7 points.
So, first taste of adversity for Heath in this 2024 campaign, and for their quarterback, Braden Gibson, who looked stellar last week, throws his first ball to the other team, and we'll see how he responds here right before we get to the second quarter. But it's 7-0, Buckeye Valley, ready for the kickoff. Ginter will kick it off to Royster at the 11. Takes it up the right side, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. We got a flag on the play, 45. He gets it up to the 48-yard line, but I have a feeling this one's going to be coming back for a few yards.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a hold, or looks like blocking the back, going against Heath, so they'll get their first penalty here. So that good field position will be backed up once again here, and I think... You know, you just got to get some confidence, I think, installed back in your offense here. It's been looking shaky, you know, like we said, ever since they kind of got into the red zone. They haven't been able to run or throw the football efficiently at all against this defense. So I think just, you know, pick up a couple first downs, get your rhythm back going, get some momentum back on your side, get the crowd back going, and most importantly, too, you know, let your young quarterback Gibson, you know, I'm sure the interception's in his head a little bit, you know, throwing a pick six, never a good feeling for a quarterback. You know, get him some easy completions here on this drive, get some confidence back into him.
So instead of being out near midfield, Heath will start this drive at the 15-yard line, trailing 7-0, and now we've got official stopping play. And timeout Buckeye Valley. So that'll be their second timeout. I'm sure they did not want to use it on defense right after a kickoff, but that's where we're at. So 15-yard line is where the Bulldogs will start after this timeout. Don't forget the T100 High School Football Scoreboard Show. Mark Bruce and Lee Waller starting at 9 on our sister station T100. All the scores from around the area, they'll keep you updated. And we got some good ones tonight. Newark, can they go to 2-0? Going to Mount Vernon. Big game. It really is a big game. Mount Vernon losing last week to Marion Harding 31-27. The Bulldogs with a big win over Licking Heights. Licking Heights, speaking of, they open up their new facility, and all they do is welcome in one of the top teams in the state in Division III, Tri-Valley. That'll be a good one. Watkins Memorial, a heartbreaking loss last week to Worthington Kilbourne in overtime, and they get to take on a very upset Sheridan team who was blasted by Licking Valley last week. And speaking of the Panthers, they are at home taking on the Tornadoes of West Muskingum. So those scores of those games and more tonight on the T100 High School Football Scoreboard Show with Mark and Lee on T100. Back to action here at Swank Field. First and 10, Heath at their 15. Corbett goes in motion, and he'll get the pass. And it's a little bit in front of him, so it does fall incomplete. Second and 10.
Yeah, it would have been a nice play right there that time, but that pass just a little bit too out in front of Corbett. I'm sure he would have said he should have hung on to that one. But yeah, you'd like to see he's trying to lead his running back right there so he can get a kind of full head of steam out from the flat. But that one that time just led him too much.
So second down and 10. This was a quick moving first quarter, and then it stopped, and now the officials are getting together to have a conversation about what we have no idea. No penalty on the play, at least not that we saw. But five of them were together, and the lone soul was just holding on to the football. He was not invited to this little party.
Probably talking about him.
They very well may be. They very well may be.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. A quick little chat, I guess, you know, to close out the first quarter.
I do kind of feel bad for him. I mean, I know he's got to hold on to the ball, but geez. Now they're going to come over, and one was talking to Coach Ward, the other talking to the Buckeye Valley coach. It was a quick conversation, so I think we're ready. Yep, your guess is as good as mine on that one. And now they're going to stop play again. What in the world?
Well,
are they calling that a non-play?
I guess they are. So, yeah, they get a free down, I guess. Yeah.
So we're back to first and 10. Another break for the Bulldogs. Can they capitalize? Corbett up the middle. They sure can. Gets across the 20 and will get close to the first down. See if they go ahead and move the chains, and they will. So, yeah, you go from second and 10 to a first and 10 at the 25. That's a huge break for Heath and probably will be the final play of the first quarter as Connor Corbett comes to the sidelines. They're going to take their time. So, yeah, that will do it for quarter number one. A pick six by Buckeye Valley, the only score. The Barons lead the Dogs 7-0. Back with the second quarter after this timeout. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on K98.7.
Dutch's Convenience Stores are your one stop for food made fresh daily. The coldest drinks, freshly brewed coffee, and all the snacks you crave. Plus, join Crown Card Rewards to save 10 cents on every gallon of gas. Then earn rewards every time you fuel up or shop at any Dutch's location. To join or to learn more, visit any Dutch's location or online at mydutchess.com. Dutch's is your locally owned and operated hometown convenience store.
Hi there, it's Haley from Mike's Roofing, and we're having a vinyl siding sale. Get the best prices of the year now. Call me at 740-763-2867, and I'll send out my Uncle Nicky to give you a free estimate. Then I'll send my dad and my brother over to complete the job. We use Provia siding bought locally at MRV. You don't want to miss out. The vinyl siding sale, I'll be waiting for your call. 740-763-2867. And don't forget, we do roofs too.
Text mikesroofing.net.
Really, Dad?
Now, back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on K98.7.
Back at a sultry Swank Field, 7-0 Buckeye Valley leading Heath on a 12-yard interception return as we get ready to start the second quarter. The Bulldogs will have a 1st and 10 at their own 25-yard line. Braden Gibson, the junior quarterback, sends a man in motion off balance line here. And it will be a handoff to Royster. Royster looking to make something happen, but the Buckeye Valley defense is right there, and he will get little to no gain on first down.
Yeah, that Barron defense has been making it difficult ever since that opening drive to run the football. And, yeah, eventually you're going to have to let Gibson air it out here. And you'd like to just, you know, see him get a couple, you know, quick, easy completions here, get his confidence back after throwing that pick six in the first quarter.
So second down, we'll call it 10. Very little pickup on that. Trips to the near side. One here to the short side on 2nd and 10. Gibson will throw. Looking, firing, pass knocked down at the line of scrimmage. Didn't look like he had a good grip on the ball that time.
Yeah, kind of came out awkwardly, and after completing 14 out of his 16 passes in the opener, he starts out 0-for-2 here today, so not the start that Gibson and this Bulldog team was hoping for here.
So after the first down run by Corbett, now you're looking at 3rd and 10 from just inside the 26-yard line for the Dogs. Four wideouts, two to each side on this 3rd and 10. Corbett in the backfield with Gibson. Gets the snap. Good protection. Plenty of time. Now looking to run a little bit. Still in the backfield. Looking for somebody open. Nobody's there. He'll take off. He's at the 30. Nice cut to the 35. And I think he's got enough for a first down. Great job by the Buckeye Valley secondary. But Gibson, using his legs, gets the first down.
Yeah, that was too by that offensive line by the Bulldogs. I mean, they gave Gibson all the time in the world. Nobody open, though. And then, yeah, I mean, rather than trying to force something downfield, you know, no spy on Gibson. He just ran for it at the first down. So nice third down conversion there for the Bulldogs.
Pickup of 10. So they are at their 36-yard line. Corbett puts his head down and will get close to the 40-yard line and make it 2nd down and 6. So do you think it is mental right now with Gibson just because it's changed so much from week one to week two and what's been happening when he's throwing the ball?
I mean, not completely. I'm sure it's there a little bit, you know, too, just because they're having so much success one week and then obviously this week it's really the complete opposite, too, throwing that pick six, you know, for a young quarterback. You know, no matter what you say, it stays in your head. It lingers in your head. You don't want to do that again, right? You want to do anything but that again.
Fake handoff to Corbett. Gibson will roll out, and there's your nice pass. And nice cut and getting the first down. And ball on the ground, but I think Heath was able. Nope, still on the ground. Looked like the Bulldogs were going to get it, but it squirted away again. Now we'll see who got it, and it's Buckeye Valley. There was the pass to get him back feeling good. Pass was caught. Checking to see who made the catch. It was Tyler Martz, and then he was hit about midfield, and the ball comes out in the second turnover for the Dogs as Buckeye Valley in business at their 48.
Yeah, it was a nice little pitch and catch right there. And one of the Barron defenders just came in from behind and just stripped the ball out to the unaware Heath receiver. And they were, that ball was kind of squirming all over the place. Heath definitely had a chance to fall on that, both those teams multiple times, but the Barrons were the ones that came up on with it.
And now back to the bunch formation and a handoff right up the middle and getting about 7 yards. And I want to think that was maybe even a tight end who got that.
Yeah, it was a big fella. Fullback, maybe, if they still have
Daniel Gourley, yes, he is listed as a fullback. I think he got it again that time, and this time the Bulldogs were ready. And it'll be a 3rd down and 3, but could be in 2 down territory right here. And it looks like they want to go fast. It's 3rd and 3. Nope, they're going to take their time and huddle up. So big, big down here for the Dogs. And we've actually got an injured Buckeye Valley player down. Officials are going to have to stop play here. Wondering if this might be cramp number one.
I think so, because he was kind of, I think, walking off the field, and he just kind of slowed down and fell down. So maybe a little cramp. Yeah, he's able to walk off there pretty quickly. But, yeah, big 3rd down coming up for the Barons. I'd say, yeah, I mean, if you run it here, you pick up 2. Or, yeah, I mean, you only need 2 for the first down, but make it 4th and 1. Probably going to go for it in this situation since the punt doesn't really do a whole lot. But this is a situation, too, I think, if you're Buckeye Valley, I know they already had that one trick play, but they come out that bunch formation again and run a play action and try to hit, you know, one of your receivers or rather tight end deep or possibly even for a touchdown, just trying to catch that Heath defense sleeping in a situation like this if you were kind of running that bunch formation to eventually try to catch Heath off guard. But it doesn't look like they're going to do that this time.
From the Bulldog 44, it is 3rd and 2. Trips here to the near side. Huss looking over the middle, and it's intercepted by the Dogs. Garrett, that's an interesting play call, I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Picking it off for Heath. And picking it off was Camden Stevens. So first turnover of the night for the Barons. I know you're trying to catch the Dogs defense off guard, but
yeah, that's not the way to do it, I don't think so. You know, I think that's a situation, too, where I think you're just kind of overthinking it, right? I mean, you've been running the football, and it's been pretty effective, especially, you know, if you only need about 2 yards, pick up the first down, extend the drive there. So, yeah, they ran play action and threw it right in the lap of the Bulldogs. So, I mean, kind of a mini punt, maybe. But, yeah, nonetheless, giving Heath some momentum back.
So the Bulldogs will take over at their 33, and here's Corbett. Nice cut to the outside, 30. It gets back to the line of scrimmage and actually might have been able to squirm forward for about 1.5 yards.
Yeah, but once again, defenders meeting Corbett in the backfield. Kind of fortunate he wasn't dropped for a loss that time and even turned that into a positive somehow.
2nd down and a long 8, and everybody knows the only way that's going to change and what the front wall was doing is got to complete some passes.
Yeah, you got to make that defense think twice, you know, about just kind of selling out here on the run, which I think that's kind of what the Barons are more or less doing here. They're kind of, you know, daring Gibson to throw it, and unfortunately, you know, that last turnover wasn't his fault, but 2 plays that he's dropped back to throw have resulted in 2 turnovers.
Timeout, Heath. We'll take a break as well. 8:33 remains second quarter. 7-0 Buckeye Valley. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
I don't know how I'm going to get this project finished. Wrenches keep breaking, the lawnmower just cut my extension cords, and I could really use a skid steer loader.
Go to the ER.
What are you talking about, honey? Go to the ER.
Go to the ER.
Go to the ER? But I'm not hurt, just frustrated.
Not the emergency room. Go to ER. Weekend Warrior Equipment Rental for all the tools and help you need. Equipment and pricing listed at WWERohio.com or stop in at Weekend Warrior Equipment Rental in Thornville.
A lot goes into taking care of your property. You need equipment with more reliability and versatility built in, like Kubota BX.
The punt for the Bulldogs was Quentin Sunkel, and he had a very good return all the way to the Heath 40 or the Buckeye Valley 45-yard line. So Heath has an opportunity here with 2:02 remaining in the second quarter and tied at 7.
Yeah, definitely. They have plenty of time. They still have their timeout, and I'm not sure what the Barons were doing with their time management on that previous drive. You know, after you got the big loss on the read option on first down, they went hurry up. I would have kind of just, you know, bled the clock down even more, and then you still punted the ball away with 11 to go on the play clock. So you gave an extra, I'd say, 40, 50 seconds for this Heath offense to operate with here.
First and 10, Gibson at the 45. Back to throw. Again, good protection. Now it runs out, but he's able to elude a couple of men, and he's got a man wide open and getting inside the 30-yard line and picking up the first down for Heath is Camden Stevens. Big pickup right there. First down, Dogs. Let's pause for station identification. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on K98.7.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week on WCLT, W254-CT Newark, K98.7.
Brian Mays and Garrett Wandle, as we are at second quarter, about a minute 55 to go, tied at 7, and after a 20-yard pickup, we have a face mask penalty against Buckeye Valley. So in the red zone at the 13-yard line, first and 10, Heath.
Yeah, I actually got him for roughing. Oh, okay. roughing the passer there. But, yeah, nonetheless, though, still 15 more yards. And, yeah, I mean, all of a sudden, now Heath, after being shut out for most of this game, has a chance to take the lead heading into half.
And off to Corbett. Again, nice move inside the 10 to close to the 5-yard line. And it'll be second and short.
Yeah, and here for Heath, no need to rush things, right? You got plenty of time. And, in fact, you do want to take your time here a little bit. Because worst case scenario, in a situation like this, you want to maybe send out the field goal unit here with less than 30 seconds to play. So if you do have to give the ball back to the Barons, they don't have any time left to do anything with it.
Second down, a long 3, a minute 22 to go, second quarter. Bulldogs at the Barons 7-yard line. And again, 3 backs now behind Gibson, who goes under center. Gets the snap, inside hand off to Holloway, pushes forward, and will be short, will be close to a first down as they are inside the 5 to the 3. See where they mark it. So third and inches, under a minute now. Again, Bulldogs do have one timeout in their back pocket.
Yeah, might need a... If you intend on just running this one all the way, may need to pick up the urgency just a bit here as it's just 37 seconds left to play.
Again, full house backfield. The triple I. It's Holloway. House call, Bulldogs. J.J. Holloway from his fullback position takes it in, and Heath now leads it by a score of 13-7 with 27.5 ticks remaining. So they take advantage of the good punt return, and the Bulldogs take the lead.
Yep, and just the same exact play they ran previously, just powering it up right up the middle for the few extra yards that they need. So, yeah, I mean, this game's kind of, turned on its head here. It started out with the momentum going towards Heath and the pick six, and Buckeye Valley was able to move the football pretty efficiently, and then Buckeye Valley threw a pick of their own trying to go for it on fourth down, and then now 14 unanswered by the Bulldogs, and all of a sudden now the momentum goes back with them, seems like, heading to the locker room for the half.
So Heath with 14 unanswered after being scoreless in the first quarter, They get two touchdown runs by Corbett and Holloway, and now lead at 14-7. Very interesting first half. I mean, really, I don't think both teams are going to be pleased when they get to the break because they've had opportunities, missed opportunities, penalties, the whole thing. But I'm going to give the credit to Heath recovering after a couple of turnovers. They could have been down a lot more, but credit to the defense. They've kept the Buckeye Valley offense out of the red zone.
Yeah, and it seems like both these teams have had like certain, you know, periods or like time frames where they've actually, you know, kind of been playing to their potential, and then other moments where it's not been happening so much. So it just seems like it's very much a game of kind of momentum right now. Whenever one team has a momentum, you feel like they're going to start to pull away, but then that team might you know, commit a penalty or make a mistake, and then it swings. So that's what's been happening so far here tonight. But yeah, these teams have been matching kind of blow for blow so far. But the Barons, offensively, like you said, haven't been able to get in the red zone. They've been able to move the ball, but they just have not been able to really, I'd say, move it efficiently once they get past the 50.
Good get by Montgomery all the way to the goal line, and the Barons player did have 1 foot in the end zone, so it will be a touchback. But good kick that time by Montgomery. Couple of seconds went off, which that's a very quick couple of seconds, but it is what it is. 25.4 remaining, and the Barons will be at their 20, now trailing 14-7. So we'll see if they try anything here. They still have one timeout remaining. Huss remains in at quarterback. He does have four wideouts, two to each side. And he will look to throw across the middle. Nothing there. Now scrambling, running for his life, fires over the middle, and a catch made along the left sidelines and getting a big first down all the way up to the Buckeye Valley 45-yard line is Liam Popovich. We called his name early, haven't done it much lately. But now you have 18 seconds to go, and you're at your 45, so this half is not done yet.
No, you could possibly get into field goal range after that play. We'll see what happens. You do have that one timeout in your back pocket, too.
Huss to throw. Fires, and he's got a man wide open and making the catch, getting into Heath territory to the 36-yard line. And it's Popovich again, and you're down to 10 seconds. And let's see if Buckeye Valley uses the timeout here, and they do. So you're at the 36-yard line. No idea the range of their kicker. But you've got an opportunity here for at least two plays, I would think.
Yeah, you just got to try to aim for the sidelines here. And then if you're Heath, you got to be aware that obviously you don't want to give up a touchdown, right? That's worst case scenario, and that's the last thing you want to give up here. So you got to play kind of a combination of that prevent, guarding the sideline type of play. Because I think even if, you know, you give up another, you know, 10, 15-yard play, but you keep them out of the end zone, you know, by the time they get to the line, the best that they can do is line up for a field goal attempt, if that. So what's important, I think, here is for Buckeye Valley, they need to try to, you know, get a nice gain, but they can't really be tackled in the middle of the field. They need to try to get out of bounds, play the sidelines as best they can.
So they come up to the line of scrimmage, which is the Bulldog 36, first and 10. Again, 10 ticks remaining in this second quarter. Bulldogs up 14-7. Huss rolling out, looking deep, fires, and he's got a man open and making the catch. No, it falls incomplete. Or wait, are they going to say he caught it? I think the referee is saying he made the catch at the 2-yard line with 2.9 ticks remaining. Everybody is hustling up. They will spike it, and the clock's going to run a lot there, and it really shouldn't have. But number one, I didn't think he held on to the ball when he hit the turf, but the official says yes, and we are down to five-tenths of a second left. I think that was Popovich again who made the catch. What a catch it was, if it was a catch. But we'll see what they decide to do now, and I think they're going to go for the field goal. Or are they trying to tie it up from the 2-yard line? This is the final play. The officials having another conversation. That was bang bang.
Yeah, I don't. The Barons weren't even sure what happened because it looked like initially it was ruled incomplete, and then it was changed to complete, and then the players were sprinting down the field to hurry up and get the spike.
So they are lining up to try to tie this game up, and now officials stop play. What a chaotic end to this first half. I really think there was indecision with the officials on if that ball was caught
yeah.
or not. But the bat judge made the call, said he got it. He pointed right down to the 2-yard line. And now officials are going to come over and talk to Coach Ward because I think he's wondering, hey, what happened there?
I think we all are.
So he's going to have a conversation. And Buckeye Valley's coming up to line. Guys, you can't do anything while the officials are talking to the head coach. Just a lot of, I don't even know, chaos?
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to use that word.
Well, yeah, I mean, we really couldn't get a good look of that catch. It was on the far side of the field from us. So.
I mean, he had it, but I thought he lost it when he hit the ground.
Right. He initially did have it. Yeah, I don't know what happened when he fell. But it was definitely a true definition of 50-50 ball right
yeah,
there.
Yep.
So, and yeah, the Barons are going to elect to go for broke here.
Here they go. They're going into the tight formation. First and goal from the 2. Final play of the first half. Huss will roll out. Fires. And the catch is made. We do have a flag on the play. Catch is made by Gotze in the end zone. But let's see what the call is. Holding against Buckeye Valley. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's killer. And that was to that play, the formation, the bunch formation, they're reinforcing all first half.
You've called it.
The perfect time to execute it. The play action right there was right there. He had his choice of receivers. He had two different guys that are basically wide open in the end zone. Now you have to kick it.
So they will mark it back to the 12. And they will attempt the field goal by Graydon Genter. And this will be from 29 yards. Officials stop play. And now they're going to go over to the Buckeye Valley sideline. You never should have told me to say the first quarter was moving quick. Now we're set. 29-yard field goal by Buckeye Valley to end the first half. Snap down, kick on the way, good pressure, short. Might have been tipped, but it goes short. So Buckeye Valley has a first and goal at the 2. They score a touchdown, but it's a holding call. They have to go for a field goal, and it ends up short. So everybody take a breath. Halftime score, Bulldogs 14 and the Barons 7. We'll recap this interesting first half after a timeout. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week. On Kate 98.7.
Configuring the Bluetooth. Deciding who controls the music. Remembering where you parked. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your vehicle doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things. Like remembering if you're on the 3rd or 4th level of the parking garage. That's simple human sense.
Visit Hummel's Newark office right off the downtown square or online at hummelgrp.com.
Hi, this is Adam Reed with the Licking County Veterans Service Commission. Did you serve in the U.S. military? If so, please contact our office. We can provide information and assist you with filing for local, state, and federal veterans benefits, including compensation, non-service-related disability pensions, surviving spouse benefits, health care enrollment, education, emergency financial assistance, and much more. Call 740-670-5430 to schedule an appointment. We are located at 935 Buckeye Avenue in Newark.
Hi, this is Charlie Burwell from Church Street Floor Covering, and we're happy to welcome back all the high school football players to the field. At Church Street Floor Covering, we support all local athletes and wish them the best of luck this season. If you're looking for flooring that can stand up to whatever your home team throws at it, come see us at Church Street Floor Covering. We've been scoring big points with our customers for over 30 years. Church Street Floor Coverings, across from the Buckeye Valley YMCA. And don't forget to tell them, Charlie sent you.
Are you tired of walking into your own house from the outside heat and there's just nowhere to escape the hot and sticky air? Hi, I'm Chase Houston with Houston Plumbing and Heating. There's nothing worse than being super uncomfortable in your own home. Call Houston Plumbing and Heating today and get cooled off. Together with York, Houston will help you gain comfort solutions that will save you money and energy. Installation is everything, so install confidence with Houston and York. Call us today where one call still does it all. 740-763-3961. Ohio license number 25394.
Now, back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on KATE 98.7.
Back here at Swank Field, halftime score, Heath leading Buckeye Valley 14-7. Interesting first quarter, a couple of good drives by both ball clubs. The Bulldogs got down to the 5-yard line, but on 4th and 1, they were stopped short. Then Buckeye Valley was able to punt it inside the Heath 10-yard line and led to a pitch 6 by Gibson, who had been so efficient in the first game, has struggled a little bit tonight. But that touchdown by the Buckeye Valley defense gave them a 7-0 lead. The Bulldogs then were able to get on the scoreboard in the second quarter after an interception. They had a 1st and goal at the 3, but a personal foul made it 1st and goal from the 18. But on 3rd and goal from the 11, Connor Corbett, using his speed and agility, took it to the house. Extra point was good. Tied at 7 with under 4 minutes to play in the second quarter. Then a quick 3-and-out by Buckeye Valley. Good punt return by the Bulldogs. Set up a 3rd and short from the 3-yard line. J.J. Holloway takes it in, 14-7, and you're thinking that's how it's going to end. Well, it did, but not before some interesting change of events, because Buckeye Valley started at their 20. Three plays later, they're at the Heath 2 with half a second to go. They throw a pass into the end zone for what could have been a tying score, but a penalty pushed it back, and then the field goal from 29 yards was short, 14-7 at halftime.
Yeah, very interesting first half. It seemed like Buckeye Valley initially came out looking like the better team with the momentum, especially after that pick 6, but after they threw a pick of their own, when they're trying to convert it on a 4th down and short, Heath was able to kind of settle in. They're being able to reestablish their running game and put some points on the board. But I think the big thing here for Buckeye Valley this first half, it's kind of just a what if, right, with all the penalties that they've committed,
yep.
Right? 6 penalties, and they have come all in very, very big situations. I mean, yeah, like you said, the one would have been a touchdown, right? But it was a holding call, and then the field goal was no good. So that's taken off, you know, potentially 7 points off the board. And then they had some big ones in the first half where they had some big plays, called back for the penalty, and then they had a late hit on the quarterback towards the end of that second half that helped result in a Heath touchdown. So he's doing a good job of capitalizing off these Buckeye Valley mistakes, because they did not play their very good football in that first half, but they still have the lead 14-7. I think as long as Heath, you know, they close out that half pretty strong, they're able to, you know, start to win the battle line of scrimmage. Their offense is starting to look, you know, more up to par after struggling for most of that first half. And their defense, too. Their defense has played really, really well. They've given up 0 points, right? The only points that the Buckeye Valley were able to score is off that pick 6. So the Bulldogs have played great defense. They need to continue that. And if you're the Barons, I think you just need to get out of your own way. Yeah, stop with the penalties as best as you can. And I think you have a good chance to win this football game. You just need to, I think, figure out a way, too, to just keep moving the ball consistently down the field. They're letting Huss air it out, obviously, because they only had like 30 seconds to go down the field. But he looked pretty good. Obviously, Heath was playing kind of that prevent defense, keep everything in front of you. But I think the Barons are going to, I think both these teams, too, they're going to have to start to air it out a little bit more in the second half if either Heath wants to pull away or if Buckeye Valley wants to hope to make a comeback.
Well, we'll see what happens. Could be a very entertaining second half. Right now, at the break, it's the Bulldogs over the Barons by a score of 14-7. Our halftime continues now with Skip Mozich tonight in high school football from the Ohio News Network.
From the Ohio.
This is the Ohio Education Association Tonight in High School Football. Named best sports program in the country by the National Association of State Radio Networks. Tonight in High School Football is presented by Bex Hybrids and by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. Now here's your host, Skip Mossick.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Tonight in High School Football's Halftime Report. Throughout the season, we'll chat with various reporters across the state to talk some high school football in their region. Tonight, we'll talk some Central Ohio football, which saw a huge surprise in Week 1. We'll talk about that and more with veteran reporter Lee Cochran next on the Ohio News Network.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
I'm Ohio Education Association President Scott DeMauro, and on behalf of the OEA's 120,000 members, we're proud to bring you tonight's game. Our members are the public school educators who coach your kids on and off the field, because we believe in the potential of every student and their right to a high-quality public education, no exceptions. That's why we will continue to speak in one voice to demand the supports and resources our public schools need, because public education matters.
At Husqvarna, we want you to enjoy cutting the grass, and that's why we build easy-to-operate residential zero-turn mowers. Husqvarna Zero Turns provide superior performance and maneuverability, are comfortable to drive, and easy to maintain. They feature powerful engines, durable cutting decks, rugged frames and casters, and ergonomic controls. Everything you need to make the mowing more enjoyable. Learn more about Husqvarna Zero Turn mowers at Wright Brothers Power or online at WrightBrothersPower.com.
Hi there, it's Haley from Mike's Roofing, and we're having a vinyl siding sale. Get the best prices of the year now. Call me at 740-763-2867, and I'll send out my Uncle Nicky to give you a free estimate. Then I'll send my dad and my brother over to complete the job. We use pervious siding bought locally at MRV. You don't want to miss out. The vinyl siding sale, I'll be waiting for your call. 740-763-2867. And don't forget, we do roofs too.
Text MikesRoofing.net.
Really, Dad?
This is the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating and Lincoln Memorial Health Systems on KATE 98.7.
This is Tonight in High School Football on the Ohio News Network. Once again, here's Skip Mossick.
We are presented by Bex Hybrids. At Bex, they are and will remain farmers at heart. And welcome back, everyone. Halftime of your game. Lee Cochran joins us this evening. Lee's covered high school football in Central Ohio for decades. And, you know, Lee, we probably need to begin with a huge Week 1 win in Fairfield County, where Harvest Prep, a D5 power, goes into big boy territory in Week 1 and knocks off D1 Perennial Power in Pickerington Central. It doesn't get any easier for either this week. Pick Central's at Wayne while Harvest Prep is at Purcell Marion. But, you know, how big is this wow a week later?
It still resonates. And by the way, thanks for having me on. Going into the game with Harvest Prep and Pickerington Central, you knew 11 on 11 they matched up. But Harvest Prep has 38 players on their roster. Pickerington Central with almost three times as many. So you kind of expect them to get worn down. And then as it got through the second half, you know, I mean, you've got Des Porter, who didn't get tired. You got going both ways. Jamarcus Jones going both ways. And then they had excellent play on their quarterback. I mean, we talked to Coach Smith after the game, and he actually pointed out, he goes, it's not that we have guys going both ways. He said, but they also have to play special teams. But just tremendous, because you Division Five power, they've been to the state semifinals the last 4 years. But you got to understand that size-wise, enrollment size, this is a Division 7 team. It's just competitive balance moves them up two divisions.
Is Gahanna still the Central Ohio team to keep an eye on in D1, Lee?
Yeah, and tonight's game is a good one with Groveport. But, yeah, Gahanna, they've won 25 of their last 28 games. They state semifinalist 2 years ago, regional finalist last year, great quarterback. They had some amazing kids transfer in. I would say probably, you know, in Division One, yes, they're the team to beat in Central Ohio.
You know, not a great week one for Division One Region Two. You know, Central Crossing and Westland were the only Central Ohio teams to win. I mean, heck, when's the last time we saw all the Hilliard teams lose their openers?
Yeah, and that's a tough one. And I agree. You know, you've got the all three Kauffman teams, or all three Dublin teams, even though Scioto's Division Two, all three Hilliard teams lost. So because they went, you know, they changed the way they do the division or regions this year, which threw the Hilliards and the Dublins into two and knocked the Olentangies into three.
In Division Two, Lee, Canal Winchester continues the role they began last year. Are they as good as they appear to be?
Yeah, I think so. Yes, and it's a good region for them. I mean, you've got DeSales in there. We don't know what to really make of Westville South. They've got a new coach, but you've got Maslin in there, you know, and Maslin is going to be a force again, obviously. So, but I do like Canal Winchester's chances, you know, to finish in the top two or three.
You know, and finally, Lee, Division Three, Region 11 will always be loaded, and this year appears to be no exception. What do you see happening there?
I see a lot of fun. I mean, you've got Watterson, Hartley, Steubenville now. I mean, my goodness, Bloom Carroll. You know, I mean, that's the fourth team I mentioned, and how's that not the first team I mentioned? I mean, it's just amazing. It's going to be a fun time. I mean, Granville. I mean, you just go down through the list, and you're sitting there going, this, like it has been the last couple of years, could be the most entertaining. I mean, I love Division One, Region Three for Central Ohio, but this one's going to be entertaining. I think Watterson's just as good as they were last year. I think Hartley's going to be good. I mean, my goodness, don't forget Hamilton Township was 9-1 in the regular season last year.
Lee Cochran has covered high school football in Central Ohio for many, many years. Lee, we always appreciate your time. Enjoy the season, okay?
Anytime you need me, Skip.
And we'll be back to wrap up the Ohio Education Association tonight in high school football halftime report presented by Bex Hybrids and by Ohio for Responsible Gambling next on the Ohio News Network.
At Bex, we believe that true champions are not just made on the field, but also in the heart. The Bex Player with Heart Scholarship celebrates high school student athletes who show dedication, teamwork, and leadership, both in sports and in their communities. We're honoring those who go above and beyond, demonstrating passion, perseverance, and a commitment to making a difference. Nominate a high school student athlete by searching Bex Player with Heart.
The Ohio Chapter International Society of Arboriculture's mission is committed to advancing responsible tree care practices. They remind herbicide and pesticide users to always read and follow the product label. The label is the law, so take the time to know how it should be used and how to use it safely. To find out more, there are over 1,000 qualified arborists in Ohio. Visit www.treesforohio.org to find an arborist near you. That's www.treesforohio.org.
Leuchart Heating and Cooling has the experience, knowledge, professionalism, and quality service you'd expect from a Lennox Premier dealer. This earned distinction means you receive outstanding installation, maintenance, and service on your home's heating and cooling system from Leuchart Heating and Cooling. Visit us online at leuchartheating.com to learn more about how we can make your home's air perfect with financing on a new qualifying Lennox system. Ohio License 38151.
Turn your waste into a win. With Win Waste Innovations as your trash and recycling provider, your garbage will be handled locally, reliably, and sustainably at every step. Formerly Waste Away and Atkins Disposal, the Win Waste Innovations team in Keith is dedicated to our community and provides custom solutions for homes and businesses across Central Ohio, all backed by a 7-day-a-week customer service team. Visit win-waste.com or call 1-866-WIN-WASTE.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Kasep's Auto Body and Service Center and Lashley Tractor Sales, here on KATE 98.7.
This is ONN.
Our thanks once again to Lee Cochran for joining us to talk some Central Ohio High School football this evening. Enjoy the second half of your game. I'm Skip Mossick on the Ohio News Network.
This has been the Ohio Education Association Tonight in High School Football, presented by Bex Hybrids and by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. A reminder, you can listen to many of our affiliate broadcasts from across the state at onnradio.com from the Ohio News Network.
It's time to ride. This is Jeff from the toy store in Thornville. Come see us for savings of up to $3,000 on select Polaris side-by-sides and $1,500 savings on Polaris Sportsman models. Financing special is up to 5.99% for 84 months for qualified buyers. Now's the time to ride, so come visit us at the toy store or at PolarisTheToyStore.com. Family owned and operated for over 20 years. Choose us as your hometown dealer for your next outdoor adventure, and we'll see you on the trails.
Hey, this is Chris from K-Steps Auto Body. Something you don't hear on the radio, I think, a lot is values and ethics. Why you do what you do. And here at KSEPS, it's so easy for us to know exactly why we do what we do. We want to provide a safe and proper repair. We want customers today, and we want customers tomorrow. We want to be able to sleep at night knowing that what we did was the right thing, even if it's not the easy thing. KSEPS Auto Body, in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
KSEPS, quality you can trust.
Now, back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on K98.7.
We're back here at Swank Field. Halftime score as we get ready for quarter number three. The Heath Bulldog Band currently performing, but it's 14-7. Bulldogs lead it with a couple of touchdown runs in the second quarter. Some scores of note: Newark leading Mount Vernon 17-7, so doesn't seem like there's any hangover for the Cats after their win over Licking Heights last week.
Yeah, that's good to see. We were kind of talking about how their season went last year, the nice 2-0 start, then they dropped one game against Marion Harding that we both thought they should have won, and we were both kind of worried that that could happen here again tonight when they took on Mount Vernon, but so far so good for the Wildcats.
High-scoring affair at White Field tonight between Newark Catholic and Allen East. It's 28-21. Newark Catholic leading Allen East that game in the second half, as Newark Catholic trying to get back on track after trailing and then losing to Reedy last week 51-19. But a better performance tonight by the Green Wave up 28-21. That's probably a big, big game for Newark Catholic not wanting to go to 0-2.
Yeah, after having so much success the past couple of years, they had a bit of a down season last year. And then, you know, obviously with how their week one game went last week, you want to get, you know, put a win in the column as quickly as possible.
Granville leading Clear Fork by a score of 18-0 in the first half. And also Johnstown has that same lead over Coshocton. And both those teams will be our game of the week next week from Walter J. Hodges Stadium at Granville High School. Blue Aces and the Johnnies will have it for you with the pregame at 6:45 and the kickoff at 7. Low-scoring affair, Licking Valley and West Muskingum at 6-0. The Panthers lead the Tornadoes in the second half. And Utah handing tough with Danville, as Danville leads that one by just a score of 8-0. The Redskins' defense has been very strong so far this year. The offense has needed to get a little bit more on track, but they're right there with Danville, trailing 8-0. Licking Heights in their new facility, trailing Tri-Valley. Thought that would be a tough one at 17-0 in the second half. Sheridan has a 10-0 lead over Watkins Memorial as well in half number two. All those scores and more on the T100 High School Football Scoreboard Show with Mark Bruce and Lee Waller, kicking off at 9 p.m. this evening on our sister station, T100. Both teams are back on the field, warming up for half number two. And one thing I wanted to ask you, everybody loves when an offense does different things and opens things up and then goes with a lot of different formations. Does that hurt maybe Buckeye Valley that they have done so many different things and they've not been able to maybe have a consistent drive? I mean, I could be wrong on that, but it just seems like maybe so many changes. Yeah, you get the defense off a little bit, but outside of that final drive, they really haven't been able to move the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think, especially on that fourth down conversion, that I think you're just trying to overthink it at times. But I thought, for the most part, they did a nice job of mixing up those formations. I think they just kind of revealed too much in that first half. They kind of used that, which, I mean, if it was 14-14, I wouldn't be saying that. It's just, you know, you've been running that bunch formation all night. It's been a handoff, which 99% of the time you expect that when you're running that kind of formation. And you're kind of setting up all game long, I feel like, for a play action, right? You hit a huge gain. You're hoping for a touchdown out of that play after setting it up all game long. Well, you did get the touchdown, but it was called back for the holding penalty. And they also had another trick play that just wasn't executed, right? It fooled Heath. It would have been a touchdown. They just weren't able to execute it. So it's just, I think the game plan for the most part has been solid. It's just the execution on the field for Buckeye Valley, I think, is just what they've been having trouble with, because aside from that and some penalties maybe not going their way, this could easily be 14-7 in favor of Buckeye Valley or 14-all.
Bulldogs get the ball to start this third quarter, and we always talk about that opening possession, unless a game is a blowout, is so crucial, because I think if they get up two scores, it's going to be very difficult for Buckeye Valley. So I'm sure both coaches are aware of that, but it'd be interesting to see what Heath tries to do, I think, on this opening possession as well. They were running the football effectively on that opening possession, getting down to the five before they were stopped. Then you had the pick six as well. So do they try to mix it up a little bit more, or do they go their bread and butter with trying to run the football? I think a lot of questions could be answered on this opening drive.
Yeah, I got some unofficial first stats here.
Let's hear them.
So for Heath, they got 163 rushing yards and only 20 passing yards in that first half. Yet they still have the 14-7 lead, and just 1-for-7 through the air was Gibson. Like we said, after having such a successful, you know, first start last week, going 14-for-16, you know, 1-for-7, just 20 yards, I'm sure.
Which was on that second scoring drive, on that 20-yard pass play when they also had the roughing the quarterback. So, yeah, really was the whole half, nothing going on.
Right. So I think, yeah, I mean, for Heath, you can come out here, and I would try to throw in some passes here, especially to maybe throw Buckeye Valley off a bit. Now, hey, if you hand it off your first couple plays, you're getting 10 yards of carry. There's no need to, you know, overthink things. Just do whatever's working. But like I said, I think eventually you are going to have to try to throw the football. Then for Buckeye Valley, you got 45 rushing yards and 120 yards through the air. So a little bit more balance, but they haven't been able to put it in the end zone, aside from their defense getting that pick six. So I expect both teams, though, you know, whatever team I think can figure out to have a more balanced offense here in the second half will come out on top.
Bulldogs will go left to right to start this third quarter. Royster and Stevens are back deep to receive this second half kickoff. Heath had two turnovers in the first half, and Buckeye Valley with one. And we'll see what the Dogs can accomplish here on offense to start quarter number three, leading by 7, 14-7. And here's the kick. And it will be Stevens' short kick at the 15, already up to the 20, 25, and will be stopped just shy of the 30-yard line. So that's where the Dogs will start, 1st and 10, with Braden Gibson leading the offensive charge as the quarterback. And while he did have a very good first game, I can't imagine the pressure he is thinking facing dealing with replacing one of the all-time greats that the Bulldogs have ever had at the quarterback position in Braden Bayless.
Yeah, Bayless was just outstanding, just a two-way quarterback. He could throw it, he could run it, and he was a big part of that high-flashing offense that the Bulldogs came accustomed to over the past three seasons.
So we'll see how he handles this game, a lot tighter than week one when they led 37-0 at the break and won 50-7. Good start, and it's Connor Corbett as he gets across the 35 to the 37, a good pickup of 8.
Yeah, but he comes off hobbling there, so hopefully nothing too serious. He's definitely something to keep our eye on, though, as this game goes on, because him losing him or him not being 100%, especially, like you said, of how reliant they are on running the football tonight, is going to be huge.
He is sitting on the bench. Coach Ward came over to check on him. It is second down and two, and this is where you love to have Royster, who can spill him and then make some big plays. Gibson to throw. Now he will look to run. Not much there, and he will scramble back to the line of scrimmage, but we have a late flag, and I think it's going to be a hold. So this was looking so positive. Second and two. Your top runner goes to the bench. And now you have a third and two, but it's probably going to be a second and long. Oh. Wait. Oh, it's a face mask penalty against Buckeye Valley. Wow, these penalties are just... Okay, but it's a... Garrett, help me out here. A five-yard penalty?
Yeah. He showed face mask several times. But they only moved the ball up 5 yards. So, some sort of penalty against the Barons there.
All right, it's first down, Heath. That's what it comes down to. And Royster right up the middle, across midfield into Buckeye Valley territory. Should be an 11-yard pickup and another first down for the Dogs.
Yeah, but they've been coming out with running the ball with a purpose so far in this one. So, you know, you don't need to, I don't think you need to overthink it here. I just keep running the football at this point. Until the Buckeye Valley defense forces you to stop. It's very identical to how the Heath offense came out to start the game. They kind of just ran right down the field, moving the chains nonstop until they did finally get held up around the 10-yard line.
Corbett is back in, so that's a good sign for Heath. And we've got another penalty. We'll see what this one is. I think this one would be against Heath. And it is going to be a legal procedure against the Bulldogs. So, again, a rocky beginning to this second half. A couple of penalties. We got rid of the inadvertent face mask years ago, so I'm still struggling over that 5 yards. But, nevertheless, it's now first and 15, and now Heath on their side of midfield at the 47-yard line. Corbett remains with Gibson in the backfield. He'll get the handoff, and he will churn forward to about midfield and about a 3-yard pickup.
Yeah, solid gain that time, and I think the key here is just try to get this out of a third and long situation, where you're making Gibson drop back and throw a pass deep down the field. So, maybe look for a wide receiver screen, a little roll out in the flat, something like that, or maybe just another give either to Royster or Corbett here on second and long.
A couple wideouts come here to the near side, one in the slot, one to the far side. Gibson will roll to the near side, looking for someone. Running out of real estate. Now we'll just lob it up, and a near great catch along the sidelines, but unable to haul it in is Royster. Yeah. He was open.
Yeah, he was open. He was just kind of, ran out of green in front of him, kind of had to try to do the toe drag there, and I think that's what caused him to not be able to haul that one in. But now you're in that situation where you've been trying to avoid all night, third and 12 now. Bulldogs have been very good on third down, though. They were 3-for-4 in that first half, converting on third down.
Including a couple of touchdowns on third down. Looks like he's aiming the ball right now, maybe not throwing it, as he just maybe still be lacking a little bit of confidence. But see what he does here on this third and 12 from midfield. He will go back to throw. It's a little screen. Here's Corbett, but Buckeye Valley was ready, and the ball's on the ground, and the Barons have it. They will recover the football at their 49-yard line. So, golden opportunity for Buckeye Valley to tie this ball game up with half a field.
Yep, second fumble lost tonight by the Bulldogs. And, yeah, that's a tough chain of events that time. As now, Buckeye Valley set up with their best field position It looks like we have an injury down there in the field.
Looks like DeBaron is down. So third turnover for Heath tonight after playing a flawless game number one. And win or lose, a lot of work to be done next week for the Bulldogs because they're heading up to Creston Norwayne, and we know how good of a program they are. They were very impressive when they came here last year and made the playoffs and won a couple of games in the postseason. And that's a long bus trip, and that'll be some work. And you want to be playing a little bit better than what you're seeing right now. And it just seems like they just can't seem to get in gear at the moment.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's any rhythm to the offense. You know, they haven't really put together, I'd say, like a really satisfying drive to watch. You know, just from the eye test so far here tonight. It's been a struggle offensively, and then, you know, I was just talking about how this drive looked like their opening drive against Buckeye Valley until they kind of stood up inside the red zone. We'll see what happens here on this third down, but that's kind of, I think, what's going on here once again is that the Barons are eventually just kind of selling out on the run, going to try to force Heath to throw it.
Well, that's what they're going to do here, and it's another screen, and they snuffed it out. They were right there waiting for Corbett, and it's to the line of scrimmage, and that's it. So they have realized there is not going to be any deep balls thrown tonight by Heath, and they're just going to line up, even if it is a passing deal, and just say, we don't think you're going to go past the line of scrimmage, and they stop them.
Yep. No, that's exactly, I think, the game plan down there for Buckeye Valley. They adjusted, I think, kind of mid-drive to what Heath was doing, and they were able to make some nice plays on those last two possessions. It's really just up to their offense. You know, both these defenses, for the most part, play a really, really good game.
Here's March to punt it, little rugby style, end over end. Let's see what bounce it takes. And it does go into the end zone. It was right along the left sideline and looked like it might go out of bounds, but it stayed in bounds. And so Buckeye Valley gets a break with 2:37 to go in this third quarter, and they'll start at their 20, down by 7, 14-7. So the Buckeyes start the season tomorrow here on Tate 98.7, taking on Joe Moorhead and the Akron Zips. What do you think?
I think it's going to be an easy win for Ohio State. You know, it'll be a good opportunity to get a look at this team that's been very hyped up and advertised.
Big time, big time.
Lots of returning players and some big key additions. But, yeah, I'd say if I were to give a score, I'd say like 56-7.
56-7, all right. Here comes Huss on the quarterback keep, and he will get to the 24-yard line. Let's pause for station identification. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on K98.7.
This is the High School Football Game of the Week on WCLT, W254-CT Newark, K98.7.
Brian Mays, Garrett Wandle here at Swank Field at Heath High School. And a shocking hit by one of the Bulldog defenders on second down and 6. Get about a yard for Godsey, but he was drilled once again. There's been some good hitting tonight by the Heath defense.
Mm-hmm.
McLean on the tackle.
Yeah, we set up a 3rd and 5, so going to force the Barons to air it out here on third down. They're just 2 for 7 on third downs here tonight.
Huss in the gun. And he will fake, look, fire, and pretty good catch made in getting the first down and more across the 40 all the way up to the 45-yard line. LaDen Jones, his first catch of the night, and that was a tough catch, and he hauled it in traffic and gets a big first down for the Barons.
Yeah, that's the play that actually Huss threw the interception on right there back in the first half. It was a play action slant across the middle. This time it's good, though, for the first down and more.
So a big third down pickup. Huss will keep it, and he definitely had a chance to be hitting the backfield, but now he's going across Heath territory, and the ball was taken away by Royster, and they are saying no. That was right along the sidelines. The official was a quick whistle on that, and I think he missed it. It was right there. But for those that remember the national championship game eons ago with Ohio State and Miami, it was Maurice Claret who stole it from a Miami player after an interception. That's exactly what Royster did right there along the sidelines. I think that was too quick of a whistle. But nevertheless, it's second and one after a 9-yard pickup by Huss. And they'll give it off, and getting the first down is Ross, and he will take it down to the 40-yard line. It was a heck of a play by Royster. Heck of a play.
Yeah, I think the official, he's just saying Huss stepped out of bounds before he ripped it out, but it was hard to say.
Not for me. It was bang, bang.
Yeah.
So I think we got an equipment issue.
Well, I knew things are going too smoothly, right?
Yeah, yeah. But now we're ready to go. Let's see. Minute 8 to go, third quarter. They'll start the clock back up. Barron's on the drive, trailing by a touchdown at 14-7. They are at the Heath 40-yard line, first and 10. Huss talking to his running back, Ross. Ball on the ground and a huge loss all the way back into Buckeye Valley territory. You called it. Just when they seem to get something going, it's a penalty or something, and that's a huge mistake all the way back to their 48.
Yeah, that's just as bad as a sack, and it's just unforced once again. I mean, you just seem like you're getting momentum, get right ahead in the fourth quarter, and then it's a unforced error. Now, yeah, second and 22.
Let's see what they do with the second and long. Huss to throw, fires catch made. And a good catch that time by Eli Messick. His first catch of the night, and it'll be about a third down and 12, and that'll be the final play of the third quarter. 14-7 as we head to quarter number four. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on K98.7.
Turn your trash into a win with Win Waste Innovations. With Win Waste Innovations as your trash and recycling provider, your garbage will be handled locally, reliably, and sustainably at every step. Building on the legacy of Waste Away and Adkins Disposal, our team in Heath delivers custom waste solutions for homes and businesses across Central Ohio, all backed by 7-day-a-week customer service. Visit win-waste.com or call 1-866-WIN-WASTE.
On the farm, a tractor needs to be as reliable as a 5-bar gate, as strong and tough as a barbed wire fence, but way more comfortable. It needs to effortlessly lift, pull, mow, and bale. Out here, the incredibly engineered Kubota M7 was born to farm. Visit your hometown Kubota dealer. Kubota, shape your world.
Visit Lashley Tractor Sales in Zanesville, Quaker City, St. Clairsville, and Marietta, or online at lashleytractor.com.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by Kasep's Auto Body and Service Center and Lashley Tractor Sales, here on K98.7.
The kid from Akron did not appreciate your prediction tomorrow. He just texted me. Fourth quarter, here we go. 14-7, Bulldogs lead the Barons. Third and 12 from the Heath 42-yard line for Buckeye Valley. Huss in the gun, man in motion. And we had two men in motion. They didn't call it. And a good tackle, and it'll bring up fourth down and long. Holloway making the stop. But there definitely was two men in motion as a wide receiver was coming across, and then it looked like it was the running back, Malachi Ross, who also started a little early. But nevertheless, the Bulldog defense, Garrett, as they've done all night, coming up with a big play.
Yeah, it seems like this is the side of the field, the spot of the field, that they just do not allow anything. But obviously, too, just that bad snap did not help the Barons' case either.
Here's your line drive kick that is always taking a Buckeye Valley bounce. I mean, it is at the 5-yard line. It has always worked.
Yeah.
It's never taken a backwards bounce at all. And now, this is where you got to see what your quarterback's made of. You're
right
up by 7, and you're at your 5-yard line.
Well, last time they were in a similar situation, that's when the pick six happened,
yep.
Right? When Gibson rolled out, And he threw a pick six. So you got to be careful here, right? I think, you know, this 14-7 lead, the 7-point lead held by Heath is a lot bigger than a typical 7-point lead that we're probably going to see along the season, just because how this game is going and just how the Buckeye Valley offense either stalls or just can't get out of their own way once they pass the 50-yard line. So I wouldn't necessarily even hate just running it, you know, three times, necessarily even just going three and out punting it. But that's another situation. You got to be careful, too. You know, punting it deep inside your own zone, Buckeye Valley will likely try to come for a block then, too.
First and 10. They're going to throw, and the catch made and getting a first down across the 15-yard line. Catch made by Jones.
Yeah,
I don't think Buckeye Valley thought that was going to come.
No, I don't think anybody did right there, especially coming on first down, just in a, you know, quick little curl route, and found his receiver that was wide open, nice accurate pass, and that's, yeah, just the second completion of the night for Gibson, and, you know, maybe you can start to build off that, and I think, too, yeah, it's important just to keep the defense guessing so that, you know, you can start to maybe build some more success on the ground, because rather than just the defense, you know, full selling out, when, knowing that you're just going to hand the football off every down.
This time it is Corbett up the middle, 25-yard line, and a good pickup of about 8 yards. And I think that throw had a lot more zip and just oomph behind it than what we saw. He really, the curl out was there, and he just fired it right to him.
Yep. I think, yeah, those are the types of, I think, routes and throws that Gibson just needs to focus on, and I think that's what they just need to call the rest of the way going forward here, at least tonight. Just, you know, reestablish that confidence that you built with him in week one. He's had a rough night.
Here's the handoff, and getting the first down is Royster and Moore. 35-40, 45 up to the 48-yard line. So you open it up with one pass, and then boom, boom, two big running plays.
Yep, and you can kind of get the sense, I think, now. Bulldogs starting to smell some blood in the water here. This may be a, you know, put-away drive here. You know, going up two scores at this point in the game, just the way both these teams eat up clock on offense whenever they both touch the ball. You know, two-score game would be huge. Going forward, if he's able to even just put a field goal up on this possession.
So they are at their 47-yard line after starting at their 5, just 3 plays later. Here's the handoff and getting into Bulldog territory. That should be a horse collar, and it comes in. I know, Brian, just be patient. Wait for them to throw the flag. But that was a guaranteed horse collar right there. And the runner that time for the Bulldogs was Tyler Martz. So it will be, and the referees even had a little discussion on that. I mean, I thought that was pretty obvious, didn't you?
Yeah.
He's trying to explain, yeah. I mean, well, one, you don't, never mind. It's at the 40, and they're going to move it down the field.
One what?
I'm not getting into it. I'm not getting into it. That was a big run, though, by Martz. I mean, takes it into Heath or to Buckeye Valley territory after 16 yards, and now, after the penalty, they're going to mark it at the 28-yard line.
Yep.
What a drive. It's taken all night, but this has been one impressive drive by the Bulldogs. First and 10 at the Barron 28. Heath up 14-7. Gibson, here's the handoff. And Corbett out of bounds at about the 26.
Yeah, I think that's got their formula going forward, is just pound the rock as much as you can here. Bleed the clock, move the ball down the field, hopefully get it in the end zone. But definitely, you know, don't take a sack in a situation like this. Don't turn it over. You know, worst case scenario, you can send the field goal unit out there, you know, try to put you up two possessions. But, you know, second down and 8, I wouldn't necessarily even hate a little, you know, pass here, like a little curl, a slant.
Well, here's a pass opportunity. Fires, catch made by Jones. He's at the 20, gets inside the 20-yard line, going to be very close to the first down. So Coach Ward thinking along with you, 3rd and 1 at the 19-yard line.
Yeah, nice job right there. He'll play action. Barons probably weren't expecting it, but were more prepared than on that opening play of this drive, but still need 1 yard here to extend this drive. Heath is 3 for 6 on the third down conversion so far here tonight.
Third and one from the Barron 19-yard line. So we come up on 8:29, fourth quarter, and here comes your three backs, and this time Gibson will keep it. They haven't called that all night, and he gets an easy first down. Good surge by the offensive line. First down dodge at the 15.
Yeah, that's a formation, too, that Heath's been running all night. They've been running it. So that's something that, you know, keep our eye on later if they have to, you know, do a play action or something like that. But instead, you know, they just went the quarterback keeper rather than giving it off, and it works. But, yeah, no rush for the Bulldogs here, as, yeah, they are bleeding a lot of time off this clock here in the fourth quarter. And at this point, I think, for Buckeye Valley, you really have to try to keep them out of the end zone.
The triple I behind Gibson on first down from the 15. It's Corbett along the left side. He's at the 11-yard line where he gets cut down there, but does stay in bounds, and that'll keep that clock moving, which currently is at 7:42. So 4-yard pickup there.
And we'll probably, like you said, just kind of as the same situation on the previous set of downs. Short run on first down, second and long. Like I said, to make this a third and manageable, or maybe even for get a first down or more, I wouldn't hate to see another maybe little pass here by Gibson, a little flat, slant, a little curl, something, you know, 4 or 5 yards through there just to keep that defense guessing.
And looks like we are going to have a stoppage of play. Timeout. We'll take one as well. 7:07, fourth quarter. Dogs up 14-7. You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on K98.7.
Carpenter's Market in Somerset, proud supporter of all area high school football teams, invites you to stop in and stock up on all the meat, deli, and dairy items you need. They're open 7 days a week and have the best selection of local produce and local beef. While you're in the store, be sure to check out their weekly specials. You'll save real money on their discounted meat boxes. They're the ideal place to stock up for the colder weather to come. Look for Carpenter's Market on Facebook and at 103 South Columbus Street in Somerset.
Attention, veterans and families in the Pataskala area. The Licking County Veterans Service Commission is proud to announce a new way to serve you better. A remote office right in your neighborhood at the BMV in Pataskala is now open. On Tuesdays and Wednesdays, from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., we are here for you. I'm Adam Reed, a dedicated expert with 7 years of experience at the Licking County Veterans Service Commission, ready to help you with your compensation, pension claims, and solving any other concerns you may have. Reach us today by calling 740-670-5430 at the Licking County Veterans Service Commission.
Now, back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on K98.7.
Second and 7 from the Buckeye Valley 12 for Heath, up 14-7. Here is Gibson rolling out. He's at the 15. Now he will keep it this time. He's at the 10 and gets very close to the first down. That play in the first half where he was a little hesitant, he wasn't hesitant that time.
Yeah, and he made the right decision that time. Yeah, they've been running that formation all night, running it all night. Did a play action. Buckeye Valley was expecting it, though. But rather than forcing it, you know, trying to hit a big play, yeah, Gibson made the right decision, ran with it, and sets up a third and short for his offense.
Third and one from the Barron 6. They were down here to start the ball game, and this is where it fell short on fourth and one. Here comes the triple I again. Gibson, he'll keep it. And here comes a fly again. Thought he had enough for the first down, but let's see what they've called. I thought that was a hold sign. We'll see.
I don't know what that signal is. To me, that looks like sideline interference.
But he threw it from the Buckeye Valley.
Yeah, side. I don't know. I'm just telling you what I see. But that should be a warning, because you're supposed to get a warning for a sports penalty. So Is it sideline interference? Because he's showing his hands and he's like waving him towards the sideline like it's a sideline interference signal. That's the only.
But I don't think they knew what the announcer as well, because he just said the penalty was against Heath. I don't think we know.
Unless, is there no sideline interference warning?
I think there is.
I thought there's one, right? No.
But there's no way he's going to call that from the other side of the field.
Who knows?
I don't know. We'll have to ask some officials to see what's up. So, 3rd and 1 becomes 3rd and 6 at the 11. And here's the handoff. It's Corbett again. Beautiful move. 10-5. House call. Bulldogs. What a move by CC. Connor Corbett might have put the icing on the cake here. That was a beautiful cut, Garrett.
Yeah, it was pretty much exactly like how his previous touchdown run was in this game. Was going far out to the left side. Looks like he's going to get brought down, but then just cuts it inside. Completely beats all of the Buckeye Valley defenders, and he's able to dive into the end zone. And like you said, bleeding almost half this fourth quarter away, pending the extra point, they'll be up 14.
And the kick is blocked, and so it will remain a 13-point lead for Heath at 20-7 with 6:27 remaining in this fourth quarter. 95-yard drive by this Heath offense that has kind of been stuck in neutral, but when they really needed a drive, the line got it done. Gibson with a couple of good throws, at least initial throw, and then Royster and Corbett and March with good runs. Very impressive drive, and now they're up by 2 scores.
Yeah, we're waiting for a long, satisfying drive all night by one of these teams. He finally puts one together, and like you said, nice balanced drive, you know. Gibson had 2 completions on that drive, was able to kind of keep that Barron defense on its heels, so they couldn't completely sell out to the running attack, which gave success to Royster and Corbett. So now it's just up to that Bulldog defense if they can continue to shut out this Barron offense. And for the Barons, I think it's time, you know, 6:27 to play. You know you need to touch the ball at least 2 more times. I think it's time to, you know, maybe take a little page out of Heath's book and start to air it out. More, which we saw on that last drive, but it was just that bad snap that really derailed that last one.
And here's the kickoff return, and a lot of room for Popovich. He's at midfield, 45-40. That changes everything. He's now at the Bulldog 34-yard line. So just when you think Heath has a pretty substantial lead and looking good, and he fumbled the initial catch of the kickoff, and here he is at the 36 of Heath with 6:17 left. We're not done, boys and girls.
Yes, the best position this offense has been in all night. So, yeah, Popovich, he's been kind of I'd say he's probably the MVP of this team. I mean, he's made the most plays, I think, on the offensive side of the ball for Buckeye Valley. So, let's maybe expect him, you know, get a little spark going in this team. But we'll see if Buckeye Valley offense can take advantage of this good field position.
At the 36, Huss to throw. He's got some pressure, rolls to his right, looking, firing, and the pass too high, incomplete, as he was looking for number 18. That's Owen Hall, 2nd down and 10.
Yeah, good protection, just a little too much oomph on that throw from Huss. But it definitely looks like they are going to be looking to throw the ball here with under 6 to play here in this fourth quarter, which is what they're going to need to start to be doing, because, you know, they can't, you know, ideally you don't want to take more than 2-3 minutes off the clock here before giving it back to Heath, so that, you know, you're able to at least give up 1 or 2 first downs before having to burn your timeouts.
Huss to throw, fires over the middle, and catch this time. It is made by Hall, and he takes a lot of folks with him inside the 15 to the 10-yard line. First down, Buckeye Valley. So the kickoff return 2 plays later, and here they are knocking on the door.
Yeah, this is the farthest they've made it so far offensively, so we'll see if they can punch it in. But, yeah, doing it too with not without taking too much time off the clock. That's what's key. They can still pick up a first down if they get it to about the 1.5 yard line.
First and 10, 5:38 remains. Heath up 20-7. Huss will keep it on the read option. Makes a couple good moves, gets inside the 5 to the 4 yard line. So a good productive pickup on first down. They'll mark it at just inside the 5, so second down and 4. Moving a little bit quicker here. They're at the line. Huss is ready. Gets the snap. Fakes the handoff. Now looking in the end zone. Firing. Touchdown. And making the catch is LaDane Jones. And just like that, it is 20-13 with 5:04 to play in the ballgame.
Yeah, Jones was just kind of sitting there wide open. Huss identifies him, throws a dart to him, and yeah, they're an extra point away from making this a 6-point game, and now that extra point being blocked is maybe a factor going forward, rest of the way going for the Bulldogs. But yeah, nice drive set up by that return by Popovich, taking barely any time off the clock. So now Heath, pressure's back on him, back on this offense. They're going to have to bleed this clock, maybe put some more points on the board. We'll see what they elect to do. But I think, ideally for Heath here, this is that you could just run the rest of this clock out. The way that you've been running the football, and you know, now that you're emphasizing, all right, let's chew this clock up. You know, we're not going to snap the ball until around 5 seconds on the play clock each and every down. If they're able to, you know, pick up 3-4 first downs, they can get out of here. But you know, easier said than done. You know, Buckeye Valley, when they hard commit and they sell out to the run, it has been very difficult for Heath to, you know, consistently pick up yards. So I think you're going to have to, you know, throw in some throws, not a ton, but, you know, just one or two with Gibson just to keep that defense on their heels on this drive if you want to totally ice this game.
5:04 remains, fourth quarter. It's a good one. Heath 20, Buckeye Valley 14. Buckeye Valley will kick it off. Royster is the lone returnee back here for Heath. He is all by his lonesome. Heath kind of thinking maybe onside. I don't think they'll do it with a few timeouts left as well, but the Bulldogs are prepared for it, so we'll see what happens. Here we go. And it is going to be a straight kick to Royster. What can he do with it at the 12? Up to the 20, and he is drilled at the 20, stays on his feet, but only gets about a yard more. So it's Buckeye Valley with the emotion and momentum right now. What can the Bulldog offense do? Leading now by 6.
Yeah, I would come out throwing right now on first down, similar to what they did on that last drive at the 5. No one's really expecting it. It doesn't have to be a huge deep shot, but just, you know, if you pick up 5-6 yards,
just to loosen
the
them up. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Just to maybe set the tone. Yeah, like you said, keep it in the back of that Buckeye Valley defense. You know, we need to, you know, look for these short passes. We can't just, you know, stack the box and hard commit to the run every single play.
So here comes the Bulldog offense up by 6. Corbett in the backfield with Gibson. 2 wideouts to the far side. Joe Ward here to the near side on 1st and 10. Here's the handoff to Corbett, and he will stay on his feet trying to find something. And just for him to get to the 25-26-yard line was amazing. They had him completely cornered, but he was able to find some running room.
And then, too, something that was underrated right there, too, by Corbett is that, you know, he's very close to the sideline. Could have maybe fought for an extra yard or two, but then pushed out of bounds. But that would have stopped the clock. Rather, he just kind of accepted defeat, dove down, stayed in bounds, allowed that clock to continue to roll.
Which it does, as we are at 4:15, 2nd and 6 from the 24. Gibson in the gun. And here's the handoff. And, oh, almost was able to break free and get the first down. But Royster will get just shy of the 30. So here we go, 3rd and about 3, short 3. But this is a huge huge play here for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, biggest third down in the game so far. And for Heath, they've had good success on third down, 4 for 7 tonight. And, you know, this is definitely manageable. Third and two, I think it's important, too. Buckeye Valley, defensively, you know, penalties have – this is the time, prime time penalty spot for Buckeye Valley, just how this game's gone. So it's important for them, too, to just – don't shoot themselves in the foot here if they are able to get the stop.
It's a triple I. It's a handoff to Holloway. Puts his head down. Gets the first down. All effort right there. I think the Barons knew that was coming, but he just used his muscle and grit and got the first down, which means that clock will now roll, and the Barons will have to start using their timeouts as we are at a running clock at 3:12. Heath up 20-14. Ball at their 34-yard line, first and 10.
Yeah, you got to think, I think, if he's able to get another first down, we're going to see the Barons start to use those timeouts. Still have all three of their timeouts. They're going to need each and every one of them here. But most importantly, they're going to need to try to get a stop against the Heath Bulldog team that's not been shy about running the football here tonight.
They'll stay triple I, first and 10 at the 34. Ball is fumbled. And Gibbs, the way the defense was playing.
Yeah, the 13-point lead in this game feels like a 28-point lead, right, in other games, just because, yeah, how great the defense is playing. But, you know, I think that I don't want to say one call cost them the game, but that fake punt really hurt them.
Here it is, 4th and 15. They're going to swing it out. Here's Corbett. He's at the 20, leaps ahead. I think he's short. See where they mark it. They're going to put him at the 27.
No, short.
I think so. Yep, turnover on downs. Buckeye Valley's got it. With 9 seconds to go, that's going to do it.
Yeah, that is a tremendous effort by Buckeye Valley in this game. I mean, it seemed like they were dead and without a pulse there after Heath punched it in for a 20-7 lead, but a good kickoff return, setting them up with good field position and a quick strike for a touchdown, and then forcing that fourth down decision, which then they decided to go for the fake in that opportunity, and then taking over once again with good field position. The offense came alive. They took advantage of those opportunities, despite having these penalties and mistakes at such critical moments. They were able to overcome that, and very impressive win here on the road against the Bulldogs.
So they will line up in victory formation. Huss, who threw the game-winning touchdown pass, will kneel down, and that will do it. Buckeye Valley comes to Swank Field and upsets the Bulldogs by a final of 21-20. We'll recap it after a timeout. You've been listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
If you had to pick your favorite season, it's probably fall, right? Sparkling bright days with just the right amount of cool at night. Many days you're running your heating and your AC. Is your system ready? Don't guess. Know for certain. Call the experts at Chandler Heating and Cooling in Thornville. Residential and light commercial. They've been serving Newark, Heath, and most of Licking County for 2 decades. Online at ChandlerHeatingCooling.com. That's ChandlerHeatingCooling.com.
Dutch's Convenience Stores are your one stop for food made fresh daily. The coldest drinks, freshly brewed coffee, and all the snacks you crave. Plus, join Crown Card Rewards to save 10 cents on every gallon of gas. Then earn rewards every time you fuel up or shop at any Dutch's location. To join or to learn more, visit any Dutch's location or online at mydutchess.com. Dutch's is your locally owned and operated hometown convenience store.
Trillium Farms, one of the leading egg producers in the country, located near Johnstown, is hiring. If you're looking for a flexible, friendly, team-oriented work environment, we want you on our team. We're hiring maintenance technicians with industrial or agriculture backgrounds. Pay is $22.50 to $30 an hour based on experience with a very competitive benefits package. View our current job openings or apply online at versova.com. V-E-R-S-O-V-A.com. Trillium Farms is an equal opportunity employer.
Are you tired of walking into your own house from the outside heat and there's just nowhere to escape the hot and sticky air? Hi, I'm Chase Houston with Houston Plumbing and Heating. There's nothing worse than being super uncomfortable in your own home. Call Houston Plumbing and Heating today and get cooled off. Together with York, Houston will help you gain comfort solutions that will save you money and energy. Installation is everything, so install confidence with Houston and York. Call us today where one call still does it all. 740-763-3961. Ohio license number 25394.
Hey, this is Chris from KSEP's Auto Body. Something you don't hear on the radio, I think, a lot is values and ethics. Why you do what you do. And here at KSEP's, it's so easy for us to know exactly why we do what we do. We want to provide a safe and proper repair. We want customers today, and we want customers tomorrow. We want to be able to sleep at night knowing that what we did was the right thing, even if it's not the easy thing. KSEP's Auto Body, in Granville, Johnstown, and online at k-seps.com.
KSEP's, quality you can trust.
Looking for a new pharmacy? The Knox Community Hospital Outpatient Pharmacy makes it easy to transfer prescriptions. Our friendly community pharmacy is open to the public, and most prescriptions are ready within 24 hours. Accepting most insurances, KCH Outpatient Pharmacy is the only accredited specialty pharmacy in Knox County. Open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday, 9 to 6, and Sunday, 9 to 4. Call 740-326-3485 or go to kch.org.
You're listening to the High School Football Game of the Week, brought to you by KSEP's Auto Body and Service Center and Lashley Tractor Sales, here on K98.7.
Final score here from Swank Field, a stunner. Buckeye Valley defeats Heath 21-20. It was 14-7 at halftime. The Bulldogs led, and then a real beautiful 95-yard drive put him on top 20-7 on a Connor Corbett 11-yard touchdown run, his second of the evening. But the point after was blocked, and then a huge kickoff return by Buckeye Valley had him at the 36. They scored a touchdown later, making it 22-14. And then on fourth down from the 40 of their own 40, the Bulldogs decide to go for a fake punt. It doesn't work. And with 30 seconds to go, a touchdown pass from Huss to Hall. The point after was good. And 21-20 is our final. It is a shocker.
Yeah, this is an ugly game, though, I feel like, overall.
Yep.
By both these teams. Both these teams did not play their best game here at all. But, you know, there were points in that first half where you felt like, all right, he's going to run away with this. All right, maybe Buckeye Valley's going to run away with this. But for the majority of that second half, you felt like Heath had really good control of this football game. And then especially when they went down the field, you know, they had that great 95-yard drive. They were able to throw it a little bit. They go up 20-7 with, what, a little over 6 minutes left. And you just think, you know, all right, with the way Buckeye Valley has been moving the football and with how much time they're taking off the clock, there's no way, right? I was thinking here, I'm like, there's probably no way. At best, maybe they get a touchdown and he's able to run out the clock. But they, you know, great kickoff return. They were able to convert it. Just about a minute drive, good for a touchdown. Heath was able to burn some time off the clock. But, yeah, I think just that fourth down, fake punt call. You know, I mean, those are calls that either they can win you games and they can lose you games, right? And tonight, to me, I feel like you lost the game. But, hey, if they get it right there, they win the game.
Yeah.
Right?
No question.
So it's just one of those high-risk, high-reward types of plays. But to me, in this situation, based off how this game was going, you kick it, you punt it right there. Because you make Buckeye Valley do something they haven't been able to do all game in order to beat you. Drive the distance of the field and put a touchdown on the board. They haven't been able to do that. The only reason they did get their second touchdown of the game is because it was set up with great field position. And that's what the punt did as well. So, you know, it's just, like you said, it comes down to a couple plays there, I think, in the fourth quarter. And Buckeye Valley just outplayed Heath in those situations. And then in the first half, Heath outplayed Buckeye Valley in those situations. So, yeah, both these teams, though, I think played far from their best game. They have better days ahead, but just a heartbreaker, I think, for the Bulldogs here tonight. And just a great win and great resilience shown by that Buckeye Valley team, you know, sticking with it. You know, the offense, did not look good all night, but they continued to, you know, play their game, not give up, and they somehow squeaked by with a win.
And now the Bulldogs at Creston Norwayne, at Licking Valley, at Mount Vernon, at Johnstown.
That's a tough stretch there, especially the next 2 weeks.
I mean, yes, and, you know, you're looking real good to be 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're 1-1 to a four-game road trip with a new quarterback, and, you know, this is, it's only going to be week three, but you almost feel like it's gut-check time for these Dogs of what they want to accomplish. Yeah, they want to win the LCL Cardinal, and that doesn't start until week six, but you want to keep improving and getting better, and they were kind of one-dimensional tonight. There were a couple of fast plays on the 95-yard drive, but to be successful, you've got to have more balance, and I think that's one of the things they'll be working on within these next four games to get ready for league play.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm sure, I think this week of practice is really important for Braden Gibson, just because, you know, it's a tale of two different weeks for him, right?
Yeah.
Last week, I'm sure he was feeling great about himself, you know, 14 for 16, touchdown, huge blowout win, could do whatever he wanted to do on offense. I'm sure he felt very comfortable. Polar opposite here tonight, only completed four of his passes, threw a pick six, and just didn't look comfortable throwing the football for the majority of it here tonight. And, yeah, like you said, very one-dimensional. And yeah,
I mean, it's a good dimensional with Corbett and Royster. They can both run the football. But like you said, mm-hmm. they're lining up in the box, and that's what I'm sure Norwayne's going to do.
Yeah, after, you know, you saw Buckeye Valley just too, with certain drives when they're like, all right, we know you're only going to hand it off. They're going to adjust to that, and then it doesn't matter how good your offensive line or how good your running backs are. There comes a certain point when the defense knows you're only going to run it. You just can't – you cannot gain yards on the ground consistently like that. You have to open up the passing game. So that's what I think Buckeye Valley was able to do, too, in the second half, is not be so one-dimensional with running the football, and Heath just wasn't able to build on that at all. So, yeah, I think they're going to have to really figure it out, I think, offensively going forward if they want to try to salvage from and recover from this loss.
We'll wrap up this edition after our final timeout. Again, Buckeye Valley over Heat 21-20. You've been listening to the High School Football Game of the Week here on Tate 98.7.
Did you know the Energy Cooperative offers custom power outage notifications and updates? Don't be left in the dark. Sign up today in the Smart Hub app. Download it for free on your mobile device or access your account from MyEnergyCoop.com. Smart Hub is always a great way to pay your bill or view your energy use. Online or on the app, the latest information is just a click away. The Energy Cooperative is proud to provide our community with energy for what matters most.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit Lashley Tractor Sales in Zanesville, Quaker City, St. Clairsville, and Marietta, or online at LashleyTractor.com.
Now, back to high school football, brought to you by Mike's Roofing and Win Waste Innovations on Kate 98.7.
Hope you can join us next Friday night. Should be a good one. Couple of undefeated teams hooking up in Granville. The Blue Aces entertaining the Johnnies of Johnstown, who finished last year very, very strong, and they're off to a good start in 2024, and the Blue Aces rolling right now as we expected they would. Pregame will be at 6:45 and the kickoff 7 p.m. next Friday from Granville. Thanks to Ethan. Great job back at the studio. For Garrett Wandle, this is Brian Mays. Again, your final score here from Swank Field at Heath High School, Buckeye Valley 21 and Heath 20. Have a great rest of your holiday weekend and be safe, everybody. You've been listening to the High School Football Game of the Week on Kate 98.7.
This has been High School Football on Kate 98.7. Tonight's game was brought to you by Houston Plumbing and Heating, Lincoln Memorial Health Systems, Kaseps Auto Body and Service Center, Lashley Tractor Sales, Mike's Roofing, and Win Waste Innovations.